This free program is paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a member, think about joining with us to help keep free speech alive.
Warning. The following program contains subject matter that portrays gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered people as first-class citizens, deserving of an equal share of the American dream. Topics like this are known to piss off televangelists, backwater preachers, some talk show hosts, blue-haired biddies, several members of Congress, and other socially unacceptable outcasts like radical right-wing nut jobs. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
Tuned into After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude, a continuing tradition here on KPFT 90.1 FM. The crew of After Hours is ready to bring you news, interviews, discussions, and music geared to the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender community and our allies. We are a diverse group here, but we all have one thing in common. We are out of the closet and urge everyone to come out of his or her closet as well. That means recognizing who you are, standing up for yourself and your rights, and being proud of who you are. We understand that this might not be possible due to age, job, or frame of mind, but remember, we are here especially for you. So kick back and relax and get ready for this week's edition of After Hours.
Let's just, do we have a copy of, do we have Queer Music Heritage to play? I'm just going to take a nap for the next 3 hours.
It's been a tough night, folks. We went to Sinfest, and it was fabulous. Okay, let's try that again from the top.
on home. Oh, God. I don't have it in me right now.
Hello, Houston, Galveston and the world, and welcome to the July 20th episode of After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude. I'm Jimmy Carper. I'll be one of your co-executive producers.
At the rate I'm going, you're going to be the only one here tonight. I'm the comatose Chris Harrison.
I see. You certainly are. Yes, we're at Sinfest. Michelle from Hell and Whitney's extravaganza of performance art, art, vendors, and people from the kink side of life.
I haven't seen that many boobies since my brother used to drag me to the titty clubs.
I know, man. And all sizes and ages.
Ugh.
No, I liked it because it was people with maybe not such great bodies, but they had great body image. So
That one woman who had the two fried eggs nailed to a wall on her chest. I mean, come on, Jimmy. You were better, had a better rack than she did.
Yeah, and I'm really flat. Really flat.
It's like she had the implants taken out and didn't tuck. I give props though to that old couple that was over by us.
Yeah.
Oh.
The one he was.
Thank you, Geritol, because those two were just going at it.
Good time. He was beating her butt, and she was just having a great time. Then they were dancing together, and they were older than me.
Apparently, I guess they got in trouble at the shuffleboard court at the home that they.
Yeah, I imagine they would. Yeah, they were definitely a kink couple.
Yeah, no, they.
Wow.
The sights I saw.
I know. Wow. Whew. But it was fun. And when it comes your way again, if you missed it, you missed something.
And if it's your birthday when it comes around again,
don't tell them.
Don't tell anyone.
Because they get you up on stage, and there's a spank fest going on. And they play every happy birthday song that has ever been recorded.
It had to be 5 minutes. 5 to 7 minutes. Thank God the spankers weren't following the rules and spanking to the beat of the song.
Yeah, that's true.
But that one... Daddy from Dallas, who was working over those three boys on the end.
Oh, boy, was he ever.
He broke the wooden paddle on the one guy's...
Sure did.
I guess he bought it there because I saw other people with that type of paddle on him. I hope he had a receipt.
Mm-hmm. Get his money back.
And then some bastard brought him another paddle to replace it.
A bigger one.
And I think that one guy was only wearing underwear under his sarong.
Probably. If he was wearing that.
Well, there was something under there. Because his sarong was kind of a greenish color, and he had some white shorts underneath it.
Oh.
And then at the end, you had to show...
Your butt.
Your butt, and, fortunately, the guys were on the one end, so you were able to, kind of focus and...
Yeah.
Although, I guess my eye could have been drawn towards the very large woman that was next to the very...
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if she qualifies for... little person status or not.
She was short, wasn't she?
Yeah, she was very short, and they were next to each other, so it was like... And we thought we were an odd couple standing next to one another.
True.
But when they showed off her, that one guy, it was like...
Wow.
He had a strawberry on him that had to be 4 by 4 inches.
Yeah. They all had... They fire engine red butts.
Yeah, that... Like I said, that daddy from Dallas, he worked those boys over.
He did. And they did have a dungeon. The event is still going on. It will be going on until 2 or later. And they're playing in the dungeon, and there's all kinds of vendors and dancing and music and performance art. And
they're probably getting ready for Act 3 of...
Yes. we had to leave early because of the show.
And then when I saw the set preparations, it's like, oh, I'm kind of glad we left early because you were out looking for Vaughn at the time.
Yeah.
They came out first with plastic tablecloths to put on the floor.
Oh, boy.
That was before they brought out the air mattress. So
I can imagine what was going on.
I don't want to imagine.
Well, things going on. Speaking of things going on, there are lots of things going on in our community starting today, as a matter of fact, because today being Sunday, July the 20th, it is the Mint Julep Contest going on at Rich's. That happens at 2 p.m. 2401 San Jacinto. That is the show of shows. You will never go to a longer drag show than this. Never. I promise you.
But it will be very good
entertainment. It will be excellent entertainment. And the idea of Miss Mint Julep, or Miss, or Ms., or Mister, is this is a title that you buy because the person who raises the most money wins.
So it's like the presidency.
They're sort of very much like that. And it's all a fundraiser for Legacy Community Health Services. That's happening at 2. Then, let's see, a couple other things going on. It's Houston Nomads anniversary, and that's going on from 2 to 6. Thank you.
Check the date on that.
Sunday, July the 20th, 2 to 6 p.m.
Okay.
And that's happening at the 611. Join the Houston Nomads for their anniversary and for barbecue and good times. No run fee and no registration. Just a relaxed afternoon with our friends. Then that evening, the Imperial Court of Houston, Space City Empire, ICOH, is doing a show at the Brazos River Bottom called While the Emperor's Away, the Empress Will Play. And that's in reference to the Emperor, Apollo Emperor Jeff Wallace, being at Camp Hope for this week, for children with AIDS, where they can just spend a week and kind of forget.
Yeah, but does Empress Rose really need a reason to play?
Oh, no. Not at all. And that will be happening 7:30. Right.
You're lucky we have your microphone off, so they can't hear you laughing at this.
At the Brazos River Bottom later on this evening. And let's see, what else is going on? You've got a couple of things over there.
Yeah, but I hadn't read anything.
Well, let me do this one then while you check that out. KPFT volunteer update. KPFT has all kinds of volunteer positions. People kind of want to volunteer, but they don't know what to do, because they maybe don't want to be on the radio. They want to do other kind of stuff. On July the 26th, Christmas in July, at Prince Recreation Center at 3000 Jensen Drive, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call Curtis Green at 832-785-0398 to volunteer. And July the 26th, KPFT fundraiser, the 22nd annual Watermelon Dance and Summer Social is happening at the Last Concert Cafe from 2 p.m. to 2 a.m. That's one of the biggie fundraisers that we do here. Available shifts are 2 to 4:30, 4:30 to 7, 9:30 to midnight. Positions include ticket sales, door, and photographer. Email Eddie at kpft.org to volunteer.
And you'll hear more about the Melon Festival at the end of the show.
Oh, okay.
If you're still around.
Board operators, positions are still open for Earth 101, Cultural Baggage, and Century of Lies. Contact Ernesto.
And bored enough to be awake during the day.
There you go. There we go.
What have you got? Houston's Guava Lamp is doing the 2008 Playgirls Magazine Sexiest Man Alive.
Ooh. He's standing right over there.
Oh, yes, it is.
It's a six-week series of events that will be at the Guava Lamp, 570 Waugh Drive at Allen Parkway, starting at 10 p.m. Upcoming events are on July 26th, and August 2nd, August 9th, and August 23rd. Contestants will be judged on several different levels: appearance, sex appeal, dance ability, style, and enthusiasm. Even though this event is a Playgirl event, it is not a nude event. No part of the series will require a contestant to become nude.
Ooh.
So why bother?
Exactly. Why go to that?
No. It's bad enough. You know, it's Playgirl, so it's got to be soft anyway. Well, or have they changed? Now, last time I looked. The LGBT Committee of the Houston Public Library is doing their third monthly installment of the Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, Transgender at the Houston Public Library series. Mm-hmm. At the Central Library Jones Building, 500 McKinney Street, 4th floor. This will be on Thursday, August 7th, 2008, from 7 to 9. The documentation of the queer experience is fragmented and scattered and has remained largely inaccessible to researchers, educators, and the general public, and even the community itself. We hope this presentation will provide an opportunity for Houston's community to celebrate the archival researches that already exist, discover connections between the collections and individual researchers, and address some of the challenges done in preserving our records we'll face in the future. The Austin program is going to focus on the importance of preservation of materials relating to our organizations, events, and experiences, and individuals within our community. There'll be two significant collections here in Houston that'll be featured: the Charles Botts Memorial Library and Archives, and the Gulf Coast Archive of Museum of Gay, Lesbian, Bisexual, Transgendered History, Inc.
That's it.
No wonder that logo had to be large.
Yeah.
Yeah. By the way, you have that one since we just talked about?
Yes, I do.
Okay. That should be the next thing followed up.
Yeah, probably.
We invite anyone who has any sort of collection, big or small, consisting of pictures, papers, recordings, clothing, art, anything, or bring items they have questions about to show to the archivist who will be on hand. We'll also be interested in the attendance of amateur historians, people who are in charge of the records of organizations that are currently active, and even the idly curious. More about GCAM?
Yes, GCAM. As we enter in our 10th year of existence, the Gulf Coast Archive and Museum of GLBT History, or also known as GCAM, has decided it's time to put on a new face.
Because Judy's is so old and tired.
No. We have a wonderful logo, but it's very, very involved and intricate and has many colors on it. So is
Judy's face.
It's not... It's hard to reproduce.
So's Judy.
Okay.
I'm just waiting to see how much she hears.
And absolutely impossible to do on a button or something.
So's Judy.
Oh, my God. You can never go to... You can never go to my apartment again, as long as she's living there. Yes.
So it'll be never, then.
Never. So the logo contest information, it must contain and or incorporate GCAM or Gulf Coast Archive and Museum of GLBT History. That can be spelled out or just GLBT. And it must state established 1999, EST or established 1999. And, of course, you may have multiple submissions. It should be a simple design which reproduces well in color and black and white from poster to pin size. So that's the difficulty in it. We want something that we can have really huge and something that you can still see when it's very small. Digital formats accepted. JPEG, TIFF, PDF, Adobe Illustrator, and PowerPoint. We'll also accept other forms of artwork, such as paper, artboard, or canvas. All submissions become property of GCAM, and the deadline is midnight, August the 31st, so you only have about 6 weeks to go on this. Email submissions to Judy Reeves at troop@rainbowprod.com or chair@gcam.org. If you prefer to deliver your submission in person, call Judy at 832-722-5785 to make arrangements for drop-off. Okay.
Speaking of logo designs.
Yes.
The Houston Council of Clubs presents the Louis 36 Pin and Poster Contest winner.
Oh.
And kickoff party to Louis 36.
When is that happening?
Coming up this Friday. Friday night at Tony's Corner Pocket, mm-hmm. starting at, I'm going to say 7 p.m. I'm not sure if it's 7 or 7.
Why not?
Yeah.
Stop by, have a drink or two.
Start at 7. Jump at 7. I know it starts. It's either 7 or 7:30, which is pretty bad since I'm the one who's one of the hosts on it. See the winning design for both the pin and poster that will be getting us ready for Louis 36, which takes place next February 26th through March 1st.
You're good.
For more information about Louis and all the fun and festivities that are a part of that, you can check out the website, louisweekend.com.
Okay, speaking of Tony's Corner Pocket, I did fail to mention that there's one more event happening today. Miss Tony's Corner Pocket 2008, Ashley Houston, presents the After Mint Show. Mint Julep. Got it. Okay.
So it's the After Mint Dinner.
Gotcha. So come on over after the Mint Julep show at Rich's, which probably be about, 11 or 12 o'clock. No. To Tony's Corner Pocket.
And I'm supposed to be the evil one.
Showtime is at 8 p.m. Benefiting the PWA Holiday Charities. And then next Friday, August the 5th, this is way ahead of time. Okay, I'll still talk about it. Because it's Mr. Tony's Corner Pocket, 2008, Cubby Christopher Prado. The Power of a Dream. That's happening Friday, August the 15th at Tony's Corner Pocket, 817 West Dallas, showtime at 8 p.m. And this is a benefit for the Crew of Olympus, Rain 38 through ICOH Rain 6, open to all performers. And a couple of things going on from Arisa's.
The Empire of the World Sovereign Imperial Court of the Single Star Houston Inc.
Very good. Friday, July 25th is the Shiite again, hosted by Imperial Prince 24 Falcon and Imperial Prince Royale 24 Susan Hayes. And then this is a biggie happening on Saturday, July the 26th. It's the Fire and Ice Ball hosted by their most Royal Sovereign and Imperial Majesties Emperor 24 Bob Skinner and Empress 24 Kimberly O'Neill. This is a big dress and tuxedo affair happening at...
big hair, big gowns.
Yeah, big gowns, big jewelry. 8 p.m. at EJ's. And this show is also a direct benefit for the Crew of Olympus. Then, August the 2nd, the Peasant Royales over at Tony's Corner Pocket. So I'm not going to talk too much more about that because it's in August. And you've got one more thing?
Southern Country Houston is calling all artists to participate in their first ever art auction.
Oh.
Art for the Children, benefiting Camp Hope.
Mm-hmm.
Camp Hope. In July of 1996, AIDS Foundation Houston launched Camp Hope, the first summer camp designed specifically for children aged 7 to 15 with HIV/AIDS in Texas. Participants now include youth from San Antonio, Dallas, Fort Worth, Galveston, Austin, and other Texas cities, as well as from other states. Since its inaugural year, the camp has expanded from a 3-day summer pilot program to a full week program that has served over 1,000 participants in the last 10 years. The rules for submission are simple. First and foremost, it must be kid appropriate. Second, please provide a short write-up on the work and artist. This legacy document will be given to the new owner of the art. Third, the work needs to be submitted no later than September 1st, 2008. It will be photographed and placed for display on a web site so that potential bidders can view it. The location of the auction will be announced later. For more information, contact Southern Country Houston at SoCoHo Art Show southcountryhouston@gmail.com. Southern Country Houston, founded in 1991, is a country western dance organization in southeast Texas. As a 501c3 charitable organization, they have a great time while they work to support other local charitable organizations through dance workshops, community service, and fundraising activities. And you find them all the time down at the BRB.
Mm-hmm. This is the third Saturday of the month, and that means it's spot for our After Hours Quickie, An Evening with the Royals with ICOH, the Imperial Court of Houston. And when I reminded Apollo Emperor Jeff Wallace of it, he said, you know, let's have the candidates come on and talk. So he invited the candidates, and tonight we have candidate for Emperor, Christopher Prado.
Hello.
How you doing? Yes, and you're all alone tonight.
Yes, I am.
Okay.
I actually just spoke to Carrie. She unfortunately got sent home from work. Wasn't feeling good.
Oh.
Just throwing up today at work, and I said, bye-bye.
Is she pregnant?
I guess so. Hmm. Maybe.
I'll bet.
A little soon.
Bet she's been trying.
Trying something.
How you doing?
I'm doing fabulous.
So you are running for emperor, and what is the emperor of that organization? What's that position?
To be Apollo Emperor for ICOH means you're going to be the co-president of the organization for an entire year. You're basically going to be the head, two of the head people in charge mm-hmm. for the next year,
mm-hmm.
And the pretty figures for the community to see more often. As you know, we have the board of directors that govern our reigning monarchs, and our reigning monarchs are out in the community,
mm-hmm.
being at our court shows, to community events, to being out. Period.
Sure.
So that's what it's all about, is giving back to the community and being out and being seen. And
you know, this is not an easy job, because it's your butt is on the line for the if you were elected. And this is a community elected position. Your butt's on the line for the next year to raise money.
Yes.
I mean, that's what you do there. So
it
what,
really
what
is
possessed you to even run for this office?
Well, I've done this once before with another group, mm-hmm. And I'm now with ICOH, and it's kind of funny. We've all heard the comments when people decide they want to step up to playing, to throw the name in the hat. Stupid, stupid, stupid. Well, yeah, you kind of have to be a little bit stupid to do all this, because you do give up you give up about 2 years of your life. That the first year you're the reigning monarch, when you get elected, when you step down, you are then the dowager year.
Yes.
Which you technically
which
have
means
duties,
you're a board member.
But you're not necessarily the big picture figure that for the reigning part of it. So yeah, you kind of have to be a little bit crazy, and you have to have a lot of confidence in yourself that you can do it, and you're able to get out there and have fun. And you definitely can't be shy.
No.
If you're thinking about throwing your name in the hat for Apollo Emperor or Gemini Empress or Emperor and Empress, period, you really have to be a little bit out there, outgoing,
mm-hmm.
and
you better be a good friend fundraiser.
Yeah, and be able to smile and take everything that comes at you, and when you have things go wrong, you have to be able to let it go and move forward and keep the business aspect of everything moving forward to better your group to keep it going.
It's a tough job. It's a very tough job, and
that's
I commend
what
you for
that's
running.
That's what I hear, and that's what I've seen. I've played the court game now going on 7 years, and it's amazing all the emperor and empresses that I've seen and step up, step down, go through their dowager years and say, okay, bye-bye. And, of course, I've seen many of them that are still very active in the court game, and it is a lot of fun to get all dressed up and play royalty with the bowing and the jewelry and the tuxedos and the big hair, the big gowns.
And the sparkle.
And the sparkle. So, yes, it is a really, really great opportunity right now that I was approved just I guess it's now, this is my second week of being in candidacy.
Yes.
Was approved. Want everyone to come out and vote yes. I am right now known as a Pink Sapphire and Platinum, a Dream is a Wish Latino Bear Cub candidate for Apollo Emperor. So come out and vote yes for, so that I can be the Apollo Emperor for Reign 7.
And you say yes because...
The reason why it's yes is because of the fact that I am actually running unopposed.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people, when you think about the campaign, when you only see one name, well, they're automatically going to get it, which is actually incorrect because of the fact that, as I actually was explaining this last night to someone, said, well, what happens if you make people mad? Well, at this point in time, when you're running unopposed, anything that you say, anything that you've said in the past, can come back and bite you in the butt. Because of the fact that you are running opposed, you still, it's not an automatic.
No.
Okay,
because people can go into the voting booth and vote no.
I'm going to get the crown. They can run in and say, I'm voting no. And unless you have 51% of the total votes, you don't get elected.
Yeah.
So which would mean if there's only 100 votes, you have to have at least 51. So if you have 51 yeses, you get elected, you get the crown, you get the title for the year. If you have 100 votes and you get 51 no's, sorry.
Yeah.
And
so if you pissed
case,
off a lot of people along the way, oops.
Then there could be a lot of no's.
Yeah. Anyway, I called this a community-wide, but actually it's anyone in Harris County.
Harris County and surrounding counties that have a valid Texas driver's license or ID with the zip code starting 77.
Yeah.
So anyone.
So it's Harris County or any county that touches Harris County.
Yes.
So.
And that the voting actually is Thursday, August 7th at EJ's Bar, 2517 Ralph Street from 4 to 9 p.m. And then we have a day break. We actually have a show that Friday. And then Saturday, August the 9th, we have Legacy Community Clinic, formerly Montrose Clinic, 215 West Timer from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m.
Okay.
So that is our long day.
Sure.
We did used to have the Galveston voting. They decided to X that out this year, and we're gonna grow back and do that in the coming years. But this year they decided to go ahead and focus on Houston, and so we have the short day from 4 to 9 on Thursday, and then we come back Saturday and give it our all. And currently, this is now going into our 7th reign in ICOH. The highest amount of votes has ever been done is 301.
Mm-hmm.
So mine and Carrie's goal, we're not campaigning together, but we are working to try to beat that goal, even if it's by one.
Sure.
So my goal is at least 302 and higher.
Okay. And I see you have a poster there. I am in love with it. Not only is it pink, but I call it the Versace poster because of the background design on it. Is so very Versace.
Why, thank you. I actually had a friend of mine from out of town that I does a lot of watermarking on my pictures and put in my past titles that I've had. And I finally said, I had worked on a poster by myself and I got it together. And I said, I know you're really good with doing watermarking and putting special little details on pictures. How are you doing with posters? And he said, well, just send me all the details that you need and what requirements that are supposed to be on there. So I sent everything to him without any kind of reference as far as what I have done or what I was thinking about doing.
Yeah.
He sent me back one with kind of the same format as what's in front of me right now. The only difference is, of course, he had put my picture dead center and all the voting information, which is the key information on your campaign poster.
Sure.
Because that's where they need to know where to go. He had put it on smaller font, so I told him, I said, awesome work. Beautiful pink layout and everything. I said, I love it, but shift my picture over to the side and make the voting dates a little bit bigger because that's the key important dates that I need everyone to know about. So when 2 days later, when I finally opened up the file and I was like, oh my God.
It's perfect. Huh?
Get it to the printer. It's time to print. Let's go. So this is the one that I formally presented at candidate announcement on the 11th. And I actually have four different posters plus this one that I've actually have posted at various bars around the city. And I brought this one tonight because I want to leave this here.
Thank you.
Because I know a lot of the community comes in and hangs out here all the time. So I want them to be there. Every person that can hear my voice right now is a voting member to help me get elected. Absolutely. So all I'm asking is come vote yes.
This is not a gay thing. This is anyone can vote.
I'm not gay. I just like wearing pink.
Do you ever? Yes. And if you are elected, you will be wearing more pink than me. Probably.
No. Well, maybe. I have an idea. If I get elected, you'll see lots of pink baseball caps is what I'm thinking. If I'm so lucky enough to get everything.
Okay.
If my dream is comes true and I do get to step up in October, there will be, and actually in November, when we have Cotillion, would be when you'll see a lot of pink baseball caps around, so.
With lots of rhinestones and sparkle.
Of course.
Yes, yes. Rhinestones and glitter.
Mm-hmm.
One of the four basic food groups, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Everyone says that there's a little bit too much glitter on me sometimes, and actually, since I stepped up as a candidate, I have worn it a few times, but
you
I've
have
actually
toned down, yes.
Tad.
You're saving up.
I keep hearing everyone saying, well, I still have glitter in my car from 3 years ago. And I haven't been around the cars in like a year or so. And it's not really always me.
You have put on some fantastic fundraisers in the past. You have an amazing imagination. So what kind of things are you planning for if you are elected?
I want to do some more things, social events during the day, because we all know that we have friends and family in the community that love giving out their dollars to help raise money for charity, but they don't necessarily want to be at the bar.
Mm-hmm. You're right.
They don't necessarily want to be in the crowded time frame of the bar, because as we all know, sometimes in between like 9 and 12, the bars are tend to be a little bit packed sometimes.
Sure.
And not everybody wants to be up.
Some people go to bed early.
Some people need to get their sleep. So I'm thinking about doing a little bit more socials outside of the bar,
mm-hmm.
Going and doing not necessarily fundraisers, but just social activities at the malls, going to the museum, going to the zoo.
Oh, that's cool.
Different things to really get to know each other,
mm-hmm.
because as a court, you are a family. And you spend a lot of time with each other. And what better thing to do is to get to know each other even more. What are their hobbies? What's their favorite color? What's their favorite food? As we all know, we all like to eat.
Oh, yeah.
So, of course, there's different aspects mm-hmm. of doing fundraisers with baking cakes, baking desserts, doing your favorite dinner and auctioning off that. And I think that's one of the things that I actually want to do if I so get the chance to be elected, is that the mail line will cook dinner and they'll be auctioned off and they'll get to give away their dinner with whoever happens to be the highest bidder. So there's different things that I have in mind for the upcoming year.
Nice.
And I've actually had a friend said, well, if you were elected, where would your charity be? I said, well, that's a little too soon to even be thinking about it, but there are a lot of thoughts in the years that I've fundraised that I want to be able to, that it's going to give me great pleasure to be able to say my reign gave back to so-and-so charity.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the children are always a big part in my life.
Sure.
Because I know, bless their hearts, some of them have been affected with HIV and AIDS without even knowing. They've come into the world that way, and unfortunately, that's the hardest way for them to have to deal with it, because, of course, they don't know.
Yeah.
They don't know what their life's about to go through. And the good thing is, like you said earlier, our current emperor is, and actually many of our monarchs, I believe it's Mark Cohen, Emperor 4, Apollo 1, and Gemini Empress 1, Chanel Cartier, Sean Carter, and our current emperor, Jeff Wallace, mm-hmm. are all at Camp Hope. They arrived there today, and the kids arrive tomorrow, and they get to spend an entire week at camp. And myself and my friend Wesley here are driving up there on Wednesday for Visitor's Day. So,
oh, good.
Good. I've been asked many years to go and spend the day on Visitor's Day, and I've never had the opportunity to be able to go and do it. And this year, I'm actually looking forward to being able to go and spend the day with the kids. And
have you ever seen the facility?
Mm-mm. No, I'm actually looking very, very much forward.
It's the most amazing facility I have
very
ever seen in my life. It's any kid in a wheelchair can do anything there.
That's what I'm told.
From going into a treehouse to going into the pool.
Cool.
It's just incredible. The thought that went into this camp. You'll be amazed.
Oh,
absolutely amazed. Yes. So, good luck with that.
Thank you.
Good luck with that, and good luck with your election.
Yes, come out and vote yes on Thursday, August 7th, 4 to 9 p.m. at EJ's Bar, 2517 Ralph Street, and August 9th, Legacy Community Clinic, 215 Westheimer, from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Vote yes, as well as, if I'm saying this incorrectly, I'm sure my candidate coordinator will listen and say you did a no-no, but bless her heart, she is at home sick right now. Carrie Christopher is the sole and only candidate for
Empress.
Gemini Empress, running unopposed, so she would also appreciate, and I know if she was able to be here, she would say the same thing, come out and vote yes all across the board, and look forward to a wonderful reign if we both are able to step up and give back to the community. As well as, I believe that's also on the ballot, we also have five wonderful nominees for the Barry Petrie Award
that's
that
right.
is given out every year that I don't necessarily remember the specific names that are on there, but the five people that are on that were on the chosen this year were phenomenal.
Yes.
When I heard the names, I said, wow,
yeah.
That's going to be a tough one to be able to pick one out of those five because the five that were picked... Really, all five of them should be able to get it, but as we all know, there could only be one winner that comes out of the battle with the crown on her head, and that's unfortunate.
I know.
That's going to be a tough battle.
It will be. One more question before we close out. You've been talking about how ICOH is the members of ICOH are like a family. If someone would like to become a member of ICOH and not... You know, because they want to be part of a family, they want to do something on stage, or they want to do something behind the scenes. How do they get in touch with somebody to become a member?
You can go to spacecityempire.org, I believe everything that's been corrected on the website to have the membership, click on the membership, and you can actually join that way, or you can show up at any of our court events, and we normally have... applications there. It's $5 a month. Or if we're at the beginning of the rain, it's usually $60 for the entire year. Or at this point, for the rest of the rain, it's $20 for the rest of the rain to become a member. And all you do is fill out your application, turn it into one of the reigning monarchs. And
that's usually
within the next show or so, they invest you into the line as a lord or a lady or whatever they picked for you to be in their reign, and you go from there.
Okay.
So it's just a matter of just coming out. Any of our functions, we normally have the applications ready for anyone to pick up, and glad to have new blood.
Good. Thank you so much for being on After Hours.
You're welcome. Thank you for letting me be here.
And good luck. Good luck. Good luck in
Thank you.
The election. Of course, we'll be talking about it every week to remind folks.
Yes, as a matter of fact, ICOH comes on every third Saturday.
Every third Saturday.
If I'm looking at the calendar, well, that says behind you on July, but if I'm looking at it correctly in the back of my head, the next time that ICOH comes around happens to actually be the night of the Prince and Princess Ball.
Oh, my.
Which is to honor the current CPRs of Reign 6, Dennis Watson and Judy Reeves, as well as our reigning monarchs. It's all about the four of them and the accomplishments that they've done all year long. And, of course, the candidates get to perform. And then at the end of the night, I believe somewhere around 11:30-ish or 11, the new monarchs are announced as monarch-elects. So who knows? We may be... This is actually my second month in a row that I've been here. So we were here with you last month.
Yes.
So who knows? Maybe we'll go for three and shoot for August.
Okay. Sounds good to me.
See you then.
Christopher?
Who's that? That's Christopher. I'm Chris.
Oh, okay.
I don't remember how to spell Christopher.
Yes.
It's on his poster.
I have to sign, if I'm signing my name, I actually have to sign Chris, dot the I, and then go Topher. I'm so unused to Christopher.
Okay, Topher, take it away.
Yeah, that's the cute guy from the 70s show.
Yeah, it's true.
Drums.
be that noisy, you're going to break some silence.
Whoa, who was that?
Freddie Freeman.
That's a pretty serious song. But that's a pretty serious CD, and it's very, very good music. We've played a couple of cuts from that before.
Okay.
That was the title cut, I take it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just looking here at the fact that you've got a chubby guy doing a song that has a Velveeta mix to it.
Well, duh.
Well, what first caught me was there's another one that has a Virgo mix.
Yeah.
And we play another song that has a Virgo mix.
Yes. Yes. That's because Virgo is the guy who mixed it.
Black Leather. No, wait. Yeah, Black Leather and Parasite and You Suck.
Mmm. Lovely.
Those are happy little tunes, it sounds like.
Mm-hmm. We've got some folks waiting in the wings here.
They're not in the wings.
We've got some folks waiting in the talk studio.
Oh, wait a minute. First of all, you go wings, and a couple minutes earlier, you're talking about pads.
No.
I know there's a lot of estrogen in the room, but come
well,
on.
There is that. Hello, Doris.
Hello, Jimmy.
How you doing? Welcome to After Hours.
Thank you.
Doris is with, and her crew, are with Theater Suburbia. And when you're here, I know that it's time for the summer melodrama, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's melodrammer.
Oh. Oops. No, oh, I can.
Pull number four down to you.
Oh. Huh?
Technical difficulty.
Look up.
There. I can't reach that.
There we go.
I can't count that high.
Pull on it, honey.
I forgot how. It's been so long.
God, me too. Well, so tell me about what's going on with Theater Suburbia these days.
Well, we're still looking for a permanent place.
Ouch.
Since we're going to have to move.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a nice little Northwest Crossing Baptist Church that had offered to let us use their facilities to have our melodrama.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been extremely nice folks, and it's been working out pretty well.
Good.
It's fairly close to the theater. It's at 6722 West Little York.
Mm-hmm.
And we opened this, Friday. This is Sunday. Okay, 2 days ago, whenever.
Oh, this is opening weekend.
Yeah.
Oh.
Runs through August the 23rd.
Mm-hmm.
Friday and Saturdays, we're doing 3 Sunday matinees on August the 3rd, the 10th, and the 17th at 3 p.m.
Okay, for some of our listeners that may not be familiar with Theater Suburbia, can you explain what the summer melodrammer is about?
It's an old-fashioned show with audience participation, mm-hmm. booing and hissing the villain, cheering on the hero, and ooing and eyeing the heroine. Unfortunately, this year, the audience didn't get to throw popcorn.
Oh, you've cut me to the quick here.
But trust me, it's been marvelous not to have to sweep and mop.
I'll bet.
First time in years. Anyway.
Hell, I usually ate half of what I...
Yeah, well, that was good, but some of those didn't. But it worked out well. They seem to get more into the booing and hissing, so...
Mm.
Which is, in reality, is the way old-fashioned melodrama used to be.
Yeah.
Yeah, you didn't actually throw popcorn.
And you've got the perennial villain there tonight, don't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, he's... still here. What can I tell you?
He's a good guy, really.
And we got some new ones this year. We got some new people, some old people, but we've got some new cast members. All but two of them are here tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got our backstage person here and one of our techie people.
Great.
So
why don't we go around the room and introduce and tell me who you are and what you do in the play, please.
Okay, I'll start off. I'm Gene Griesbach, and
you certainly
I play
are.
The character of Hiram Abernathy.
Hiram Abernathy, okay.
I'm Violet Burchill, and I'm the stage manager.
Hi, Violet.
Hi.
And I'm Courtney Jacobson, and I play Aurelia Abernathy.
Okay.
Hi, I'm Lee Raymond, and I'm Sarah Abernathy. I'm Hiram's wife.
Okay. I'm Colleen Moore, and I'm Melody Lane, who's the heroine.
Melody Lane... I love the name.
So easy to say.
That's right.
I'm Corey Grabenstein. I play Lucius Goodenough, who is the hero of the tale.
Lucius Goodenough?
Good enough. He's not the best, but he's certainly good enough.
good and evil all rolled into one. Is that
there
it?
You go.
Okay.
I'm Donna Dixon, and I play Muriel Atkins.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Marilyn Faulkner, and I play Battle Axe Annie, and I'm the sheriff. This year county.
Sheriff?
I'm Marilyn Coriel, and I do the sound.
Ah.
I'm Melissa Teresa Leon, and I play Red Wing.
And I'm Glenn Dodson.
Yes, you are.
I play Windermere Hightower, the villain. My father was one of the Boston Hightowers.
Windermere.
That would be windy for sure.
According to some, yes.
Steal my line. I don't care.
And I guess that's it.
Okay, so you...
You mentioned Dan and Pam.
Well, they're not here. If they don't show up, we don't mention their names. I'm sorry.
Doris has spoken.
They have their chance, and they blew it.
Do you go through with a marker if they don't show up for a performance?
That's right. Yeah.
Screw you!
You got it. Can you say that on the radio?
What? Yes.
Oh, okay. I mean, you know, there's those words we can't say.
You see, there's a little sign there on the right under the window. Those are all the words you can't say.
Can you read? So don't say them.
So don't read.
Should I read them to everyone?
Apparently.
So that would be.
You're talking to a bunch of people that would sit here and read them. So don't do that.
That's anyway. How we rehearsed, Jimmy. I mean, not with those words.
Well, right.
Anyway, it was fun this weekend. Mm-hmm. It's a good cast, and they seem to be having a good time. I'm not sure about me, but anyway. But it's still the same old telephone number, and to make reservations, 713-682-3525. The website is still the same. www.theatersuburbiaasyoucallit.com.
Yes.
So
are we going to do a couple of scenes?
Several. You told me I had all the time I wanted tonight.
Can you stretch a little bit more before you go into the first scene, though?
Sure. What do you want me to stretch?
You need to stretch maybe 2 minutes.
2 minutes?
Garage sale.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, the garage sale.
Garage sale.
Talk about the garage sale.
Okay. Yeah, we are going to have a garage sale this coming week, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday from 8 until 2. We're... been packing up and deciding what we're going to take with us and what we're not.
Oh.
So we have some furniture, some costumes, some clothes, props, knickknacks. Just over the years, people have donated all sorts of things to the theater. And believe me, all sorts of things. I'm finding more and more things I didn't even know we had. And so, you know.
That sounds like fun. Where's that going to be held?
It's going to be at the theater. We're still there. They haven't kicked us out yet.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
so
we're
still
there.
This is still at the old theater, which is located...
1410 West 43rd.
Okay.
So anybody wants to come, you know, there may be something there that they won't.
I'm sure there would be. I've been in the back there.
Like I said, I found things I didn't know we had. Oh. You know, after 47 years, you collect a lot.
Yes.
Wow. Collect a lot.
Finally, Jimmy's chance to get into some actor's pants.
Yeah.
Possibly, yeah.
Okay.
Or actresses, whichever you prefer.
Yeah, he was asking.
If you want to go and drag it, you know.
There you go.
He was wanting to get in some girl's dress here earlier tonight.
Yeah, well, yes, what can I say? That's Chris. They don't let him do that in Tomball.
No.
I think we're close enough now. I think we are. You're listening to After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude on listener-sponsored commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast, KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org. Now broadcasting in high definition.
Oh.
Check out kpft.org and find out the schedule for high definition channel number 2. Mm. We're over here on number 1. Don't know why. I think over on Definition 2, you'll be hearing the BBC.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And all the other stuff. I had to get in. I didn't want to have to interrupt in the middle of your scene.
Oh, that's fine.
To do the station ID, and I wanted to be legit. You know.
But you said it so fast, did anybody understand you?
All I have to say is, to be legit, is KPFT Houston.
Good.
That's it.
Everything else is just gravy.
He just likes to hear himself.
Okay. Four.
So let's go to a scene.
Okay. Page 17.
Oh, we ready to start?
Yeah, start. Okay. Yeah, Gene.
Ma, you know I wouldn't trade you for anybody, even if I could.
Do you mean that, Hiram?
Sure I do. You and me ain't got nothing to complain about. We've had a mighty good life together. We got this ranch.
And we've also got a mortgage on it that's almost as big as the ranch itself.
We got our health and our children, too.
We've got our daughter, Aurelia, yes. But as for our other child, our dear son...
Now, don't you get to crying, Sari.
I'll never will be able to understand how any son of ours could just leave home and forget all about us.
Don't talk that way, Ma. I don't think he forgot us.
If I only knew that he was alive, if we'd only get some news of him.
I'm sure we'll hear from him any time now.
But Hiram, our boy's been gone from home for over 30 years.
Well, he never was much of a letter writer. None of us Abernathys are.
But Hiram, 30 years.
One of these days our boy will get in touch with us, I'm sure.
I keep lighting that lamp and place it in the window every night, so that he'll be able to find his way home.
Then he could take some of the work around here off of my shoulders. I wouldn't have to do so much in my old age.
A lot of work you've ever done, Hiram Abernathy. In all the years I've known you, I don't ever remember you doing any work.
Now, Ma, how can you even think such a thing? Have you forgot that time I worked in a factory for a whole year and a half?
You worked in a factory for a year and a half? Would you mind telling me what you did at the factory?
I was a first-class olive stuffer.
An olive stuffer?
Yeah. I used to crawl through the front of the olive and drag the pimento in after me.
I might have known better than to take you seriously.
Now, who do you suppose that can be?
Why, it's Battle Axe Annie.
Howdy, folks. I got news for you.
What's the news, Sheriff?
Well, you see,
just a minute, Sheriff. Did someone come along with you?
No, that's my horsey here outside. I forgot to tell him to stop. Whoa there, Ebenezer. Rest yourself.
You sure got that critter trained good, Battle Axe.
That horse is smarter than a lot of humans, I know. Beats everything how he catches on to things.
Come right in, Annie. Pull up your arteries and set a spell.
Don't mind if I do, Hiram. Sari, how can I keep myself from catching another cold?
By keeping the one you got.
What news have you got, Battle Axe?
Trouble's come to the valley again. We're all in for it this time, too. One of them bandits is on the loose again. There's been 3 holdups since last evening.
3 holdups? How terrible!
The confounded bandit held up a train just before it got to the pike near Four Corners. Went through the whole train, too.
Who told you about it, Annie?
It's my business to know about such things, ain't it? I'm the sheriff of this here county, ain't I?
Yeah, I reckon you be.
I'll be, and let me tell you, Hiram Abernathy, that I'll meet up with this bandit, and when I do, he'll know it.
Oh, yeah, he'll know it, all right. But will you?
You say that bandit went through the entire train, Annie?
That's right. He took everybody's money and valuables. Must have got a powerful big haul.
Did you finish your work out in the barn, Red Wing?
Ugh.
Howdy, Red Wing.
Ugh.
You didn't see no strangers round outside, did you, Red Wing?
No see anybody. But Red Wing knows that heap about trouble is coming to ranch here.
What makes you say that trouble's on its way here, Red Wing?
Red Wing seen signs of great trouble in the sky. Much that is bad will happen here.
Don't you pay no attention to her, Ma. We ain't gonna have no trouble here.
Red Wing says no more. Red Wing has spoken.
Well, then you better get on with your work.
Ugh.
She's usually right in her predictions. It's uncanny the way that girl can read the sky.
Now, Ma, I ain't gonna pay no attention to her. Well, who's that coming now?
Come on, ain't nobody coming. That's just Ebenezer stretching his legs. That horse always loves to show off whenever he sees a young gal.
Getting back to the bandit, have you got a description of him?
Nope. Plenty of folks have seen him, but they can't tell me what he looks like because he always wears a heavy black mask over his face.
Well, if you don't know what he looks like, how are you going to catch him, Sheriff?
By laying a trap for him, of course. I'll get that Omri Polecat and put him where he'll never be able to rob anybody again.
Where was this bandit the last time he was seen, Annie?
Down the road about 6 miles, and he was heading this way.
Oh, don't you worry none, Sari. I'll shoot that varmint down before he can get to say Jack Robinson.
Hey, Battle Axe, you better put that gun away before you do somebody some damage.
What's the matter, Hiram? You ain't scared I'll shoot you, are you?
Well, tell you myself, I'm thinking of Battle Axe. It's Ma here. What would she do if anything happened to me? How'd she manage to get along?
It's certain that I couldn't be worse off than I am now.
Reckon I better be getting along and let you two fight in peace. Now, remember what I told you about the masked bandit. Don't take no strangers in, and if you see anybody acting suspicious-like, get in touch with me right away.
I should think you'd be terribly afraid that this bandit might get you before you get him, Annie.
The man ain't never been born that I'd be scared of. It's my own self that I'm feared of.
Afraid of your own self? Why, what do you mean by that?
You see, Sari, I ain't never had a chance to try out my own strength. And when I do, it's liable to be such a great surprise to me that the shock is apt to kill me.
Okay. Over to page 30. Red Wings line.
Storm's on go now. Pale-faced man coming here.
A man? Oh, who is he, Red Wing?
Him, stranger. Red Wing never seen him before.
Oh, dear. I do hope it ain't that masked bandit.
Yay!
Excuse me, ma'am, but I'd like to have a few words
with you.
You stay right where you are, young man. Are you the masked bandit?
A masked bandit? What do you mean, ma'am?
There have been a lot of holdups, and the sheriff's hunting for the criminal that's been robbing folks around here.
Oh, shucks, ma'am. Can't you tell that I'm not a robber? Why, I don't even have a gun. You can search me if you want to.
You search him, Red Wing.
Stop there, you're tickling me.
Has he got a gun concealed on him, Red Wing?
Look, ma'am, I've come a long way, and I'm afraid I've lost my way. I haven't had anything to eat since early last night.
Why, you poor boy. Where are you from?
Why, my home is in Maryland.
From Maryland? Don't tell me.
Yep, that's where I'm from, all right. My name's Lucius Goodenough.
Well, if you're from Maryland, that's good enough for me. Did you hear that, Red Wing? This young man is from Maryland.
Oh!
This is Red Wing. She's been with us quite a while now.
Oh, I see. How are you? Glad to know you. Oh! What's the matter with her? She got a stomachache?
No, of course not. That's just her way of talking.
Oh, I see. Well, have a seat, won't you?
Indians hardly ever sit down. They prefer to stand.
That's funny. The only Indian I ever heard of was called Sitting Bull.
Get something ready for this young man to eat, Red Wing, and see that he has plenty.
Ugh.
Sit down, won't you?
Thanks. I've got money to pay for what I eat.
Land sakes, don't you worry about that. We ain't got much, Palm Me, but I never could stand to see anybody go hungry.
Oh, you're home, folks, just like my own mom. She always goes out of her way to feed folks, too.
Oh, where are you headed for?
Well, I started out for California, but I don't know if my money will hold out long enough for me to get there.
Perhaps you'd like to stay on here. We're terribly short of hired hands just now, and as a result, we've lost several of our cattle.
Well, I don't know a thing about ranch work.
Well, neither did Pa. And if he can learn, I'm sure that anybody can. You get your keep and a good salary besides.
I'm anxious to get to California because I have relatives out there.
Well, you can think it over while you're filling yourself. Just go right out to the kitchen and Red Wing will feed you.
Oh, thank you just the same, ma'am. But if it's all the same to you, I'd rather feed myself. Been doing that ever since I was a baby.
Okay, over to 35. Aurelia, the daughter, has come home.
Aurelia. Welcome home, Aurelia. It sure is good to see ya.
Oh, I'm delighted to see you too, Father.
Father? That's the first time you ever called me anything but Pa.
Well, girls in the city never call their Pa's anything but Father. Father.
Well, how come you got home a day early, Aurelia? We didn't expect you until tomorrow.
But I wrote you that I'd be home today, Father.
There. You see, Hiram, didn't I tell you that Aurelia would get here today?
No, Ma. I was the one who wanted to go to the station, but you said she wasn't due here until tomorrow.
Nothing of the sort. You said that Aurelia wouldn't get here until...
Well, it doesn't matter what either of you said. I'm here. Although, for a while, it looked as though I'd never make it.
Why, what do you mean, Aurelia?
The train I was on was held up by a masked bandit.
You mean that that ornery coyote robbed you?
Everybody on the train. There was a girl sharing a seat with me, and he took over $100 from her. He left her penniless.
Land sakes, the poor thing.
I felt so sorry for her when I discovered that she was penniless and all alone in the world. So I decided to bring her home with me. I hope you don't mind, darling.
Of course I don't mind. But where is she?
She's waiting outside. I'll call her. Yoo-hoo! Yoo-hoo! Come on in, Melody.
What a gorgeous abode.
Oh.
How I've always longed for a place like this to come to. A place that I could call home. But I'm afraid it was never meant to be thus for one of my lowly origin. Oh, woe is me. Oh, lackaday.
Melody, I want you to meet my mother and my father. Her name is Melody Lane.
Melody Lane. It's so easy to say. Don't you think so, Hiram?
It sure is, Ma. She's mighty easy to look at, too.
Hiram!
No offense, Ma, no offense.
How can I ever thank you sufficiently for this warm display of hospitality? I come among you a stranger, and yet you take me to your hearts and make me feel like I am one of you. It makes me feel so unworthy. I, who am but a piece of flotsam on life's jetsam.
You poor child. Is this the first time you've ever been away from home?
Alas, I have never known the joy of a home. I was raised in an orphanage without any kith or kin to call my own.
Oh.
Unlike your dear Aurelia, I have never known a mother's love or affection.
You mean you never knew who your mother was? Or your father?
I have never had a mother or father.
Do sit down, Melody.
Oh, thank you, Aurelia.
Aren't you glad that I brought Melody home with me?
Ask me that sometime when your ma ain't around, Aurelia.
You mustn't pay any attention to Pa. He just likes to act up once in a while.
I'm sure that a warm heart beats beneath his breast. Mr. Abernathy looks just as I pictured he would, from Aurelia's description of him.
I told Melody that the hair was missing from the top of your head.
It may be missing from the top of my head, but I got plenty of hair on my chest.
That reminds me of the only creature I ever had to love. He had tons of hair, too.
He did? Who was he?
A dear cocker spaniel.
Are you just traveling for pleasure, or were you going someplace special, Melody?
I was on my way to a small city in the west, where I expected to teach school.
Melody has taught school up in the east up to a few months ago when her school was closed.
In other words, you're a school teacher who lost her class.
Hiram!
How lighthearted! How gay they all are! Would they be so happy to welcome me among them if they knew the dark secret that beclouds my life? Alas, no. They would all shun me were they to discover that deep within my being I carry with me the curse of an aching heart.
Aww. Melody is going to sleep with me. I'll go up and see that things are in order.
I painted your room while you were away, Aurelia. Come on and tell me what you think of the job I did.
We have another guest staying with us, a wealthy man from the east. I'm hoping that he and Aurelia will take to each other.
Oh, Aurelia deserves the best. She's such a wonderful girl.
I do hope that you're going to be happy here with us, Melody.
Oh, I'm going to love it, I know. Who could help but be happy here amid such peaceful surroundings?
Oh, Mr. Goodenough, I hope you enjoyed your meal.
Oh, yeah, it was so swell. How much do I owe you?
Sakes alive, you don't owe me a thing. Have you thought over what I said to you about staying on here?
Yeah, I've been thinking about it, but I've decided against staying on here. Maybe I'll come back here sometime, but right now I've got to be on my way to California.
Well, I'm sure you know best, and I wish you good luck wherever you go.
Who is this, ma'am?
This is a friend of my daughter's. She's going to stay with us for the present. Mr. Goodenough, I want you to meet Melody Lane. Melody, this is Lucius Goodenough.
I'm pleased to meet you, sir.
Oh, you ain't half as pleased as I am. Wow, she sure is a pip.
Mr. Goodenough is on his way to California.
Oh, not anymore, I'm not. California will have to get along without me.
Oh, Mr. Goodenough, does that mean you're going to accept my offer?
Oh, you just bet.
couldn't chase me away now, even if you wanted to.
Come on up here, will you?
You excuse me, won't you?
How handsome he is! How noble! Oh, cease my fluttering heart!
Is this your first trip out here, Miss Melody?
Yes. Isn't it beautiful? Look at that lovely tree out there.
Oh, it sure is a beauty. I wonder what kind of tree it is.
Well, that is a dogwood tree.
Well, how can you tell that it's a dogwood tree?
By its bark.
Gosh, you sure are smart.
Do sit down, won't you?
You sure know how to make a man feel comfortable.
Oh, think nothing of it.
I hope we're going to see a lot of each other from now on.
Oh, no. Oh, what you ask is quite impossible.
Impossible? But why? Does that mean you don't like me?
Not at all. After all, I hardly know you.
Well, I don't know you any better than you know me, but I've fallen for you, hook, line, and sinker.
Oh, please. You mustn't say such things to me. How tragic that I cannot meet this man on his own plane. But I must not. I dare not.
I wish I could tell you what I really want to say, but I can't seem to find the words. You see, I've never had much education.
Well, didn't you go to school when you were a lad?
No.
But you have a family, haven't you?
Oh, sure, I have a family. I've got a wonderful dad. Ever since I was a tiny lad, I can remember him saying that everything happens for the best. And they took him away last year.
Oh, and what about your dear mother?
Oh, my mom's a real wonder. She's an oomph girl.
Your mother is an oomph girl?
Well, yeah. Every time she sits down on the sofa, it goes oomph.
No doubt you've met a lot of city girls in your life, haven't you?
Yeah, I've met a lot of them, but I don't like them.
You mean you don't like their looks?
Not the ones that they give me.
Well, why does my aching heart race so? Is it trying to tell me not to fall in love with this handsome stranger? Alas, I'm afraid it is too late to turn back now.
Oh, now that I've told you all about myself, what about you?
I'm afraid there's nothing I can tell you.
How about your family?
I haven't any parents. I'm all alone in the world. I haven't a father, and I've no mother to guide me.
Oh, a guy that marries her sure will be getting a break. No father-in-law to feed, and no mother-in-law to beat him up. You're not alone in the world anymore. You'll always have me to protect you.
Please, I beg of you. You mustn't say such things to me.
I've got to go outside and look after a horse. Now, I'll be right back. Now, don't go away now.
There's no place to go.
You know, the minute I looked at you, I started to think about getting married. But before I can get married, I have to make a little money first.
Well, on the contrary, you'll have to make a little money last.
Make a little money last. That's a good one, that is.
I'm going for a little walk, but I won't be gone long.
That voice sounds familiar. Could it be? Oh, no. Fate couldn't be so cruel.
Melody.
Windermere Hightower.
Aha, my proud beauty. So we meet again.
You fiend. What are you doing here among decent people?
Did you think you could escape me? Once again, I have you in my power.
Never again. I shall have no truck with you. Let me pass.
Is this any way for a fond wife to greet her husband?
You are not my husband.
Oh, but according to the law of the land, I am. And you are my wife.
A wife in name only. I would rather spend my life with a snake.
When the judge pronounced us man and wife...
It was only when you insisted that I become part of your criminal schemes that I realized my folly and left you a few minutes after the judge pronounced us man and wife.
Really, Melody? I cannot understand why you have taken this strange attitude toward one who loves you so.
You cur! I see you as you really are. A base and unscrupulous creature who would stop at nothing to gain his own selfish ends.
Listen to me, Melody. Why not cast your lot with me again and become rich?
Become rich? But how?
Find some rich man with a past, hang something on him, and you're all set for the future.
I would sooner die a thousand deaths than live on the proceeds of your criminal act.
Have a care how you speak to me, girl. I've a very nasty temper when it is aroused.
You have already done your worst to ruin my life. It is because of you that I carry around with me the curse of an aching heart.
Oh, how beautiful you are, my Melody. I must plant a kiss on your ruby lips.
Oh, stand aside and let me pass.
You shall not pass until I have my kiss.
Unhand me, villain, or I shall scream for help.
You yellow dog, you take your hand off that lady's arm.
Yay. What do you mean interfering in my affairs?
Anything that concerns this lady concerns me.
Oh, really? Who are you, anyhow?
You ever insult Miss Melody again, you'll find out who I am.
My dealings with Melody Lane are my own business and none of yours, you meddling young fool.
Oh, don't you call me a fool, you polecat. You take that.
Oh, Lucius, what have you done?
I've just made a snake bite the dust, Miss Melody.
I'll settle my score with you later, my young friend.
Whenever you're ready, I'll be waiting. And you won't have to go hunting to find me.
As for you, my proud Melody, you'll live to rue this hour. Your fine spirit will be broken and you will grovel at my feet begging for forgiveness. I will see to it that you become a woman without reputation and shunned by all who know you.
You monster! Your threats no longer frighten me. Take away my good name. Strip me of everything I hold dear, if you can. But there is one priceless heritage that you can never rob me of, and that is a woman's honor.
And scene.
Whoa.
One more little short one.
Okay.
Page 76.
Molly, Corey, you're so butch in this.
Aren't you enjoying it, Jimmy?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, or whatever. Yeah, 73. Or you come in, Muriel.
Windermere! Well, it certainly is good to see you again.
What delayed you, Muriel? I expected you here yesterday.
Well, that's a fine way for a husband to greet his wife when he hasn't seen her for 4 weeks.
When I wrote you and told you to join me here, I stressed the need for haste. We must work fast.
But aren't you glad to see me? You don't act at all romantic.
This is neither the place nor time for romance. We have other fish to fry.
What do you want me to do?
This place is heavily mortgaged, and the mortgage money is inside that desk in a tin box.
Are you sure the money is there?
Of course. I overheard old man Abernathy and his wife talking about it.
Are you going to break it open?
Certainly not. This skeleton key will unlock the desk. You stand in the doorway and let me know if you see anybody approaching.
All right, only hurry up and get it over with.
Gadzooks! They'll never suspect that I had a hand in this.
Nobody coming this way yet.
Yes, it's all here. $400. What's this? Eureka! The deed to this ranch. This is an even richer haul than I expected.
What now, Windermere?
Hide outside and don't come in until I give you a signal. I'll stand in the doorway and wave my handkerchief in your direction.
And what do I do when I come in here?
You tell the folks here that you've been held up by the masked bandit. There's a young cowhand working here named Lucius Goodenough.
Lucius Goodenough, eh? That surely is a name to remember.
When you meet this Lucius Goodenough, you recognize him as the masked bandit who has held you up.
Oh, don't worry. I'll put on a good act.
Here's $200. Hide this money on you. I don't want to have any money on me in case they decide to search me.
I can hardly wait to hear what is behind all this and why you sent for me.
Yes, yes. I'll tell you all about it in good time. Outside now and wait until I give you the signal to come in.
Here's where I play Dr. Jekyll and Hyde.
And now to speed the downfall of Lucius Goodenough.
All righty. Does that kind of give you an idea?
It certainly does. And
more than you wanted, right?
I want. Not only do I want to see this play, but I want to see the one man version done by Corey.
Yay!
Sorry.
And, you know, I think we forgot to mention the name of this to begin with, but
yes,
maybe throughout
the, I kind of got a hint.
And maybe the curse of an aching heart, maybe. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The curse of an aching
heart. Are trapped in the spider's web.
Oh.
And did you realize the villain is kind of a bigamist?
Just a little bit.
Just a little bit.
Bigamist. I just like women.
Pigamist.
He's a pigamist, yeah. There you go.
Pigamist.
Jimmy, you know I'm a good guy, don't you?
I do know that.
Good for what? We don't know.
You know that I love women, don't you, Jimmy?
I do know that.
But his wife doesn't like him to love women.
Well, my wife knows me better than anybody.
Oh, then you're in trouble.
No, she is.
So when are you coming to see the show?
As soon as I can get Judy over there.
And so how is Judy?
She's doing fine. She's still recuperating. She's got about another couple of weeks to go before she's out of the wheelchair. Yeah.
So you're still babysitting?
Yeah,
huh?
She'll probably be at my place another
month.
She'll
probably drag it out another month, so you know, if you let her. But anyway, once again, The Curse of an Aching Heart plays through August the 23rd, mm-hmm. Friday and Saturdays at 8:30. Sunday is at 3 o'clock on August the 3rd, the 10th, and the 17th at 3 p.m. Reasonable prices, easy to find us. We are doing this one at 6722 West Little York.
Mm-hmm. It's
easy to find. Cross Street is Bingle.
Okay.
Off of Highway 290. And
you're doing it in what's the building?
The Northwest Crossing Baptist Church.
Okay. Okay.
Really good group of people.
Great. Great. And so, we can do everything but throw popcorn.
Everything but throw popcorn.
Okay.
713-682-3525.
Good.
24 hours a day.
Good.
Garage sale this weekend coming up. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday from 8 until 2. Come out and join. Bye. We need the money.
Now, that's next weekend, right?
It's coming, yeah.
Okay.
The 25th, the 26th, and the 27th.
Good. Good.
And anybody out there that has some money they want to get rid of, we're looking for a home, and it'll take some money to get it built up.
Yeah.
So if some wealthy person out there wants to give us some money, we're tax deductible.
That's right. And you are one of the oldest little theaters.
We are the oldest in Northwest Houston.
Wow.
But third oldest in Houston.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing.
Yeah. And at that location for all those years.
Yeah.
So it's kind of sad.
It's very sad. But, you know, there's a new life. And
that's right.
New works in store for Theater Suburbia. You're not going away.
No. We plan on staying.
Good.
Now, whether I'll be there another 47 years, that's debatable. I'd be probably in the Guinness Book of World Records if I was by then.
I think she'll still be there, Jimmy. Directing the melodrama.
That would be my guess. That would be my guess.
Anyway, we're having to delay our opening. We're not going to get to open our season in September, but we're hoping, you know,
mm-hmm.
before the year's out, we'll have a show up and running.
Good. Good.
So,
but everyone come to the melodrama.
Everybody come, because we need the money.
Yep.
We need the money.
And it's a good show. It's very
entertaining. Oh, they're always fun. Always fun. Every single one I've ever seen. So, thanks for being here on After
Thank you
Hours.
For having us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Okay, let's have a little music here. We've got a little oldie but goodie from Christy Claxton. This is called Best Loved Girl, and you're listening to it on After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude right here on KPFT Houston.
them with a smile and kills them with a touch. This little girl won't tell you no. Will she ever say yes? Will she ever beg? I don't know. Not by you. Maybe. Not by me. She's the one to choose.
Once again, and then you have the nerve to tell me
hypocrites. No, I wouldn't put you on because it really did. It happened just this way. The day my sister socked it to the legendary Donna died. The day Donna socked it to the Oakland, Texas again. Whatever. Mm-hmm. Is that it? Oh, is that...
It was homecoming night at my high school.
Whoa.
Everyone was there. It was audaciously cool.
So cool.
I was real excited. Why? I almost wet my jeans.
Whoa.
Because my best friend Debbie was homecoming queen. She looked so pretty in pink chiffon.
Pink chiffon.
Riding a walk with her tiara on.
Tiara.
Holding this humongous bouquet in her hand. She looked straight out of Disneyland.
She looked straight.
Well, it was like the Cinderella ride. It was definitely an e-ticket. The crowd was cheering. Everyone was stoked. Well, you know, I think it was like the whole school was totally coked out or something. The band was playing Evergreen.
Evergreen.
When all of a sudden, somebody screamed.
Oh my God, look out, the homecoming queen's got a gun!
Everybody run, the homecoming queen's got a gun. Everybody run, the homecoming queen has got a gun. Debbie's smiling and waving her gun, picking off cheerleaders one by one.
Oh no, Lovey's pom-poms just blew to bits. My God, Mitzi's head just did the split.
My best friend is on a shooting spree. Stop it, Debbie, you're embarrassing me.
How could you do what you just did?
Are you having a really bad period?
Everybody run,
the homecoming queen's got a gun.
Everybody run, the homecoming queen has got a gun. Stop it, Debbie, you're making a mess. How it burns all over your dress. Bloody bodies all over the quad. Who'd have thought she'd be packing a rod?
An hour later, you know, the cops had arrived. Oh, but by then the entire glee club had died. No big loss. You wouldn't believe what they brought to stop me. Tear gas, machine guns, even a chopper.
Throw down your gun, Akira, and come out of that float.
Debbie didn't listen to what the cop said. No, she aimed and fired, and now the math teacher's dead. Oh, it's really sad. But you know, it's kind of a relief. See, we had this big test coming up next week. Everybody run, the homecoming queen's got a gun. Everybody run,
the homecoming queen has got a gun. Debbie's really having a blast. She's wasted half of the class.
The cops fired a warning shot and she dove off that float. I tried to scream duck, but it stuck in my throat. She hit the ground and did a flip. It was real acrobatic, but I was crying so hard I couldn't work my Instamatic. I ran down to Debbie. I had to find out, like, what made her do it. Why'd she freak out? I saw the bullet had grazed her right about here. I knew then the end was near. And as do y'all mind? So as the SWAT team and a gaggle of hall monitors escorted her from the field, I ran alongside and I said to her, Debbie, why did you do it? Why did you do it? Well, she just smiled at me and said, I did it for Lonnie. Lonnie? Debbie, who's Lonnie? There aren't even any boys in our school named Lonnie. There is Miss Wilson, the woodshop teacher. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Debbie, is that why you spent all that time making those tacky birdhouses instead of being in the Future Homemakers of America with me? It was too late for answers. And as the SWAT team roared off into the sunset, I surveyed the gruesome scene before me. The ruins of that beautiful chicken wire and crepe paper V for Victory that the pep club had worked so hard on. And then it hit me. It's still homecoming week. You can't have a homecoming game without a homecoming queen.
It was then I knew what I must do. So I retrieved her tiara from where it had fallen, and I placed it lovingly upon my head, willing to assume the awesome burden of homecoming queendom, eager to rule with a firm yet sensitive hand. All right, boys, sing it for me.
Everybody scream, the homecoming queen is a queen, he's a queen, he's a queen, he's a queen, he's a queen. Oh, a big old queen.
Sharon Alexis from the soundtrack of the movie Sordid Lives, soon to be a television series on the Logo Network. I'm not sure which day of the week it's airing, but I do know the Bears are planning a Sordid Lives event over at Tony's Corner Pocket. So I think you can find out about that over at HoustonAreaBears.com. Before that was The Flirtations, Homecoming Queen's Got a Gun, Mark Allen Smith, Harper Valley PTA, Chrissy Claxton, Best Love Girl, was all in that set. Earlier in that, we played Freddie Freeman, Break the Silence, and started off the show with Houston Bernard with See the World. And if anyone's listening out back, which I know they're probably not, we're going to be getting ready to do Roundtable here soon. See if that gets anybody. Probably not. Put a little bit more music in while I'm waiting for anyone to show. I've got someone here.
You want me to go round up the troops, Chris?
Not particularly, because I know what they're going to say. So.
All right, fine. Oh. Screw them. Let's play music for the next hour.
Here we go. Ah, shoot. It's got all the tracks on there. Here's a movie that's coming out. It's out now, I guess. Hey, that song's not even on the damn CD.
Mamma Mia.
Yeah, I don't know. It scares me, the fact of watching... who's the old broad? Who's in that movie?
Oh, Meryl Streep?
Meryl Streep singing.
Oh, my goodness,
singing.
Yes.
That kind of scares me. Just thought, oh, yeah. And I see her doing a duet with Pierce Brosnan. But then again, you know, Meryl Streep, any movie she does, she's automatically gets nominated for an Oscar.
Yes, of course. Hey, they have the video online.
Let's see. CD. All right. Put this in. See if anyone's going to show up. Do I be evil and play Como Te Gusta Mi Pinga? Let's play it safe. I like this. A dance mix version of Dreamweaver. And this is After Hours.
It's gay. It's beautiful. And you're going to love it.
This tune goes out to the people on the back patio. You only let Virgin in here. Get your asses in here. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. Here, you need a dance beat to it? Get your asses in here. Get your asses in here. Get your asses in here.
Come on, guys.
Well, that didn't work.
Hey, here comes Merlin.
Hello.
The All wise right. and grizzled one here.
In the middle of something.
Middle of someone.
You go play.
Oh, you said something. I'm sorry.
You go play poker on your own time.
Honey, he doesn't poke hers. He pokes hims.
Huh?
Yes, they are.
Oh, now they are.
No, they've been on.
Oh, they have. Oh.
No, we said yours off.
To quote from a very old movie, Virgin, you, sir, are an idiot.
You mean they had movies?
Well.
Yeah.
That wasn't much of a news flash to our listeners.
What?
That wasn't much of a news flash to our listeners.
Sure. Okay.
I've got cute stories.
Okay, where's everybody else at?
Let me see here. All right. Let's go to here.
Well, if they don't want to be a part of
okay,
it, that's
Sean,
their tough.
Ozzy.
Hello. That's their tough noogies.
Wes, I see all of y'all on camera, you guys. Get in here. Let's go.
We know y'all hear us.
Screw them. Oh, great. It's birthday to Jimmy again.
Well, we got Amy's boyfriend.
Sean, get
here.
Off the computer. Let's go.
Well, we can molest Amy's new boyfriend.
Would you stop that?
No.
Leave it alone. Virgin. Not that.
You know, he really is a one trick.
Not
he so really fine, is eh? A one trick pony.
You're giving him too much credit.
Well, just let everybody know. Amy's boyfriend is hot. Just let everybody know.
Yeah.
Okay, that endorsement coming from you means nothing.
Nothing whatsoever.
Yes,
to our usual listeners, yes, he is
to
a cute guy who, you know, if things were in a different situation,
well, I can see
I would be looking at him and, you know, quoting the words of the immortal Scott Kennedy. I'm big enough to hold you down, do whatever I want. But considering the fact I'm walking with a limp, you know, it's not going to work.
I must say, though, Amy does have a nice taste in it.
Oh, yes, she does.
Well, let's taste them and see. Oh.
The tasting is left up to Jimmy.
Oh!
Our photographer's here.
Yay, Paul.
Late as
wow,
usual.
He's late.
Yeah, he's usually about photographing two. Hot boys over at South Beach, I think.
So. Oh, it's like 10 to 3. He's usually here at 2.
Well... Maybe he was hanging out, Virgin.
I bet.
People wanted him to be around. You should understand that concept. All right.
Let me see, Chris. You were saying...
We have a lovely story here in the running for Father of the Year Award.
Oh, this
yeah,
ought to be good.
Listen to this, kids.
A dad tries to beat the gay out of his son... with a baseball bat.
You know, that just doesn't usually work.
I think he took that Ramones song, Beat on the Brat, a little too literally.
Oh, yeah. An 18-year-old returning from a gay pride festival in South Carolina was assaulted by his father with a baseball bat. According to the Anderson County Sheriff's Office, the battering took place about 1 p.m. on Sunday on P Street. During the assault, the teen's 49-year-old father yelled, cursed, swung the bat, prayed, and tried to cast the demon of homosexuality out of him.
Oh, Lord.
Watch out, you might catch the gay.
Gay. Oh, my God.
According to the teen's version
that
of events...
Like he, all he was catching was splinters, but okay.
Well, that's usually all a virgin catches, but anyway.
According to the teen's version of events, to Deputy S.C. Weymouth...
With
it, yeah. Once again.
Oh, that's way too easy.
Oh, my God.
What a way to go.
Oh, yeah. Way mouth.
The incident report states, about 2 p.m. Wednesday, the teen said his father punched him when he returned to the house for clothes that he left behind on Sunday. The report states, the teen told deputies that his father has a problem with him being gay.
No.
Oh,
really?
Shock.
And winner of the Understatement of the Year Award.
Kel Supri.
Goes to S.C. Weymouth.
No, that's the kid who said that. S.C. Weymouth was the deputy.
Problem with it.
Has a problem with him being gay, and that's why he hit him with the baseball bat on Sunday. A little side note on here. The people from Tola Road added on here. I love how Dad involves God in the violence. How tragic having to report your violent, bigoted father to authorities. Police are investigating.
All right. So.
Well, you know, it says bipolar a god as folks like that seem to have. first half of the book, it's all slash, kill, wipe them out. The second, it's all peace, light, and love. Like, give me a break.
Well, you know, he had a kid. You know, that lightens people up sometimes.
Sometimes.
But, you know, considering the fact, you know, you'd think he'd still be more benevolent, you know. His son hung around, 12 guys. None of them had a job. They had long hair. They wore dresses. They just went around
wore
wherever.
Wore the same clothes everywhere they went.
Yeah.
You know, couldn't afford a new robe.
Yeah. The white, you know, they were wearing white after Labor Day, so I think it was the reason for the crucifixion. It was fashion police just finally catching up.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't say anything really on... No.
So the short version is he actually survived the...
Yeah.
He did. Apparently, his father doesn't know how to choke up on the bat.
Well, you know, the problem is maybe dad didn't watch his son enough to learn how to swing the bat, you know?
Yeah.
But, like I said, I saw that. It's like, that's a story for our group here, you know?
Yeah.
Father, you know... What a lovely way to celebrate gay pride. Beat the hell out of your own flesh and blood.
Yeah. You know, as ballistic as my parents, well, my mother, went, there was nothing thrown. There were no punches thrown. There was no furniture thrown. There was no sports equipment thrown at me when I came out of the closet. My parents learned to cope. Like a mature adult.
See, when I come out to my dad now, at least it'll be over the phone.
There you go.
Well, distance. I'll be on the other side and, you know, behind some glass. Anyway.
You've heard the saying, distance makes the heart grow fonder.
See, that's kind of funny, but it's
in your case, distance will keep your heart beating.
Let's go to the Catholic school principal.
Oh, great.
Oh, my God.
This should be great.
It's priests, now it's principals.
What?
Catholics behaving badly.
Gabriel de Jesus, the principal of Sacred Heart School for the Arts in Mount Vernon, New York.
Oh, this gets better by the minute.
Has been asked to resign after police discovered him and two other men having sex in the backyard of an abandoned home in White Plains, New York. Authorities say De Jesus, a person Francisco Arturo and of Thorntonwood, and another man met online. The trio allegedly picked the backyard of a vacant Abbeville Lane home to conduct their group sex. When does three constitute group sex?
Not orgy.
It's a threesome, not, you know. I think four qualifies for orgy.
So
no, five's a picnic. But anyway, this county.
One is named for a saint. The other's named for the Son of God.
We don't know the third person because the story.
And we don't know who the third one is.
Yeah, it gets good. An alert neighbor called 911 after noticing something suspicious. Two men got out and met a third person on the side of my house. And they went on that property, and that's when I called 911, neighbor Rick Pacheco said. Police found De Jesus and Otero naked and arrested both. They are charged with misdemeanor trespassing, public lewdness, and disorderly conduct. The third man ran naked down the street before he could be apprehended. The neighborhood's Gladys Kravitz,
or at least bouncing in the wind, anyhow, go
was
on.
Upset she didn't catch the action.
I'll bet.
Helen Forkin, whose backyard on the Rocking Chair Road abuts the home where the men were found, said she and her daughter were upstairs watching television when she heard the police arrive. We heard, "Get on the ground and put your hands up," she said. This threw us completely, Forkin said. You know, it's one letter away from foreskin.
Yep.
Said that from her window, she saw police with flashlights.
Away from something else.
Is that flashlights or fleshlights?
Flashlights.
Hold one man to the ground and pull another out of the bushes. I'm saying to myself, he's not wearing a shirt. And he's not wearing a shirt, she said. Anna Morgada, Forkin's next-door neighbor, said she learned of the incident yesterday afternoon.
She's
asleep.
So observant.
She said, laughing, "They call me Mrs. Kravitz, the nosy neighbor from Bewitched, because I'm always looking out the window, except last night. What a crazy world we lived in."
Honey, if she was looking out the window last night, she would have had a heart attack.
Probably.
Somebody was wiggling a little more than their nose.
I think it's amazing that
that the nosy neighbor is named Forkin.
Yeah.
No, the nosy neighbor is Anna Morgata.
Who's Forkin?
Forkin's the one who...
Forkin is what the two men were doing in the backyard.
My point exactly.
She's the one who was she heard with her daughters upstairs watching television when she heard the police come. She's the one with the line, "You get on the ground and get your hands up."
Yeah, because something else was already up, I'm sure.
I'm sure.
And she's the one with the line going, "He's not wearing a shirt and he's not wearing a shirt."
Don't you love her powers of observation?
Really?
And they weren't wearing pants or anything.
All I gotta say is, cheap thrill of the week for a woman of the, you know.
Right? She finally just stepping arms over that one.
She was fond of sticking her nose into things. She finally saw something more.
Someone else was sticking their nose into
something interesting. Yeah, exactly.
I find it interesting. They haven't, they didn't find the third person. If he's running naked, his clothing had to be somewhere.
Yeah. This does not necessarily mean his wallet was anywhere near his clothes.
Car keys, found a car around there somewhere.
Something.
Maybe he lives walking distance. or more precisely, in this case, sprinting distance. Well,
Flopping.
Technically, somebody had to because they knew this place was abandoned.
Yeah.
We're at the top of the hour.
Let me catch my breath first.
Because this is going to take a lot of energy.
He does say it in one breath, y'all.
I've been having trouble breathing. I'm surprised when I saw the doctor, he didn't, was a little more concerned.
Well, last week you did it all in one breath.
Yeah, it just depends. When I'm really sick, it's a little difficult. Sometimes I can, sometimes I can't.
Anyways.
He's not as young as he used to be.
You're listening to After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude on listener-sponsored, commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast, KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org. Now broadcasting in high-definition radio, you're listening to us on KPFT High Definition Channel 1. If you're one of those few people that has the high-definition radio, you can click over to Channel 2, and I think right now you'll be getting the BBC.
You can
check out kpft.org for a complete lineup of what we broadcast in the second channel.
Oh, cool.
Awesome.
They play, Democracy Now!, they play Flashpoints, a couple other programs, and when they don't have scheduled programming, they just revert to the BBC.
Yay. Oh, cool.
So.
I love listening
to BBC. Right. Where do we want to go next, Chris?
Man running down the street. Naked.
No faggots allowed.
Oh. Okay.
Where at? I want to know. I want to go.
Little signs were plastered up around Portland, Maine, saying blood drive. The need is constant. The gratification is instant. Give blood. It gives the dates and the times at the Portland, Maine Donor Center for the American Red Cross. With a little note on there, no faggots allowed.
In very, fine print underneath.
Activists in Portland, Maine reportedly plastered these signs in community bulletin boards of downtown Portland with a poster campaign drawing attention to the American Red Cross discriminatory policies.
Ooh.
So it wasn't the Red Cross who put out these lovely little things. It was somebody putting them out in honor of the Red Cross.
Let's point out
the fact that under... not just American Red Cross, but under actual federal guidelines by the CDC, any man who's had sex with another man since 1978 is ineligible to donate blood or blood products for human use. There has been talk in recent years about changing that to if you've been celibate for 1 year, you can donate.
So you give it away and you celibate?
A little.
All right.
But it's nice to know that bigotry is alive and well.
I guess we're not going to be giving blood anytime soon.
They don't want my blood.
True.
I don't think they really want my blood.
No offense, Bobby, but your blood's kind of the reason why they don't take blood. I guess before I was diabetic, they would have liked my blood. When I was younger, I was called and asked, "Would you please donate blood? We need a specific person. You go to the blood center, you tell them this is for so-and-so, and this person's getting your blood."
Mm-hmm.
I got some rare stuff in there that.
Oh, cool.
I think they were saying it was helpful for people with sickle cell anemia. Hmm. So. Hmm. No, I can't give, so they're out of luck.
Oh, well. Absolutely brilliant.
So what else have we got up on there?
All these years and still there.
Let's go Elton John.
Ooh. Yes. Well, Elton John.
Sir Elton John, yeah.
What is the grumpy old queen want now?
What does the leader of the gay mafia want now?
Elton John is going to be playing a concert in Vermont. He's okay. Played in every other state in the union except Vermont, and he's finally gotten around to there. So in honor of this, Ben and Jerry's is making a limited batch ice cream. It'll only be available for 7 days, a week, from July 18th to July 25th at the company's Vermont Scoop Shops, with proceeds going to the Elton John AIDS Foundation. So if you're in Vermont and you want to get Goodbye Yellow Brickle Road ice cream. It's an outrageous symphony of decadent chocolate ice cream, peanut butter cookie dough, butter brickle, and white chocolate chunks.
That sounds good.
That's how Elton John got that girlish figure.
Huh? I bet he did.
Yeah.
That's how I got my girlish figure. What are you talking about?
Body by Ben and Jerry's.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that girlish figure. Faruka.
Yeah, the birthing hips and the big tits.
Well, Chris, you know your ears are bigger than mine.
Yes.
And but his aren't pierced.
Yeah.
Yeah. I continue to be natural, thank you. There's only one place I get pierced, and it's been way too long.
So he'll play Vermont on July 21st. His Top of the Pops Goodbye Yellow Brick Road performance from 71. Oh, this is
they have a video of him back when he was wearing hideous
those really
glasses.
Big glasses.
Yeah.
And he had a little bit less hair.
But you know that was stylish back in the 70s.
Had a little bit less hair.
He had less hair. Yeah, he was going bald back then. Yeah, you know.
And the costumes.
Yeah.
That was when he was still closeted, so, you know, he couldn't, you know, at that time he couldn't put on the wigs.
Yeah, Liberace was closeted too, and he wore a bunch of fancy costumes.
Yes, he did.
He was openly closeted.
Yeah, it's just like Elton John.
It's all in the costume change.
No, back in the 70s.
There are people honestly believe Liberace was straight.
I forgot.
Oh, he was gas day.
Please. You lay out his costumes on the ground, they can be seen from the space shuttle.
Wasn't that Jimmy's costume from Pride?
Pride was, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That satellite dish for a belt buckle.
Actually, someone had a Ouija board after Jimmy wore that outfit, and they contacted Liberace, and he said, tone it down.
Oh, man.
Did they use that belt buckle as the...
Yeah, that's how Jimmy contacts the aliens for the anal probe.
Speaking of the phrase, tone it down, I kind of stole that from George Takei, who used it at Andy Dick. As his line at the toast.
This has got to be good.
You know, from one gay man to another, tone it down a little bit. Well, Andy got busted this past week.
Again.
For, you know.
Terminal stupid?
Drug use. Mm. Duh. And little sexual harassment, sex charges.
Outside a chicken joint.
Is it a Hooters or something like that? Buffalo Wild Wings.
Oh, my God.
Here's the interesting part that's kind of surprising.
Play with chicken. But anyhow.
Well, the person who he's allegedly sexually assaulted was a girl.
What?
Uh-huh.
He allegedly walked up to a 17-year-old girl, grabbed her tank top and bra, and pulled them down, exposing her breasts.
Oh, okay.
Well, he is supposed to be bi.
Yeah, I saw his performance on the Gong Show this past week.
Well, I think it's more like bye bye.
Bye bye. Bye yeah, bye. You go to jail now.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they found him in the. They found weed and Xanax.
In his pants.
Ooh, pocket. What a shock.
He looks awfully evil in that mugshot.
I know, yeah. I saw that mugshot, too.
Frightening.
I mean,
kind of scary looking.
Like I said, he was on the Gong Show as one of the judges this past week, and you know, considering the fact that they had to blur over his crotch during the show.
Eek.
Oops.
Yeah, apparently he was showing someone, he was giving them a vote of one. Or one half.
Oh.
Yeah. David Tell looks over and he goes, 3, 2, 1, show's canceled.
That was good.
So, all right. Oh,
yeah. You know, America, one of these days, I have high hopes that the world is going to get tired of staring at train wrecks.
No, they won't, because there's going to be reality shows to fill in the blanks.
Yeah.
Yeah, I,
Andy Dick is a train wreck.
Yeah. Kind of twisted watching the new Big Brother.
Uh-oh.
And, you know, there's the openly gay cowboy.
Ride
there.
A cowboy. Mm-hmm.
Who?
Jeff Strike.
Save a horse, what? Ride a cowboy.
That means I need to start watching that one now.
Which created the first controversy because he referred to the one African-American female on the show as that colored girl.
Oh, God.
What?
Yeah.
That colored girl.
Yeah.
That's
smart.
Oh, I love that. That was funny.
That's a lovely comment to be using.
Well, yeah, we know, you're, Virgin, you're not racist.
Apparently just because you're a fag doesn't mean you can't be a racist bastard, too.
Yeah, and there was one evil, conniving guy that was in there, and I kept watching. I don't watch the actual show they have on CBS. I watch the after-hours show they have on Showtime. For, you know, I'm in the hopes of seeing a little nudity like last year. And the one guy who was voted off first, Brian, from San Francisco, no mention that he's gay. He did mention the fact that he used to, he was former military. But I'm sitting there watching him going, oh, no. First of all, he had a little mohawk going. He was smoking a cigarette. And he had it between two fingers with one arm pointed up and the other arm was tucked under there. I'm saying, I'm sorry. If you're going to do a Betty Davis move like that, you're gay.
You the gay.
He had his legs crossed at the knees and kept putting one hand in between his thighs.
Oh, he's gay, y'all.
Yeah, and he was the little conniving one, and they booted his ass out first.
Oh, that was this season?
Yeah, this one just started. There's another one that's... what station was it? It's on... Nick at Night, I think. It's either Nick at Night or Noggin. They're doing a reality show trying to help kids lose weight. Tatiana Ali is the host of this show. And basically they took a bunch of chubby kids from two high schools in Chicago that are rivals and sent them to this fat camp. And there is one kid on there. My TV almost burst in flames. You know, there was nothing said, nothing mentioned, but it's like... Their first challenge was having...
It because the boy was Damien.
I mean, he was just, you know... He's walking... The first challenge was walking up the stairs of Sears Tower. And he kept, you know, making sure... Fixing his hair along the way.
What? Did he think he was going to meet a cute ghost on the way up?
I mean, that and some of the other little comments and that he was making, it's like, okay. Nice to see Nickelodeon showing a gay teen. Let's see if they mention the out part.
Uh-huh.
But, it's kind of scary watching these kids, when they go through telling them how bad they actually are.
Mm-hmm.
Watching the one girl break down going, I'm bigger than some of the guys here.
Well, baby. Why do they...
Huh?
Well, and...
Or like, yeah.
You know, I'm like... Well, a girl, you know, who knows? He might have met a cute office boy on the way up to the 115th floor, you know? I mean...
I guess we'll do the jury, the Jesse Helms story here. Then we'll take a little music break and find out here.
Ding dong. Well,
it starts off with Elizabeth Dole, you know.
Oh, God.
One of those women that's very thankful to Viagra because it helped Bob Dole.
Bob Dole.
Recently, there was a little bit of legislation that went through in the Senate. It was an AIDS bill. And Elizabeth Dole introduced an amendment that would have added the name of Jesse Helms to the title of the HIV, AIDS, Tuberculosis, and Malaria Bill. The name of the act proposed is the Tom Lantos and Henry J. Hyde United States Global Leadership Against HIV, AIDS, Tuberculosis, and Malaria Reauthorization Act of 2008. The act would have be named for the former representative Tom Lantos and Henry Hyde, who worked together in their last years of Congress to achieve bipartisan support for federal funding for the fight against these diseases. The language that Ms. Dole used is Ms. Dole submitted an amendment intended to be proposed by her to the bill to authorize appropriations for fiscal years 2009 through 2013 to provide assistance to foreign countries to combat HIV, AIDS, tuberculosis, malaria, and for other purposes. And it was ordered to lie on the table as follows on page 1, line 5, strike and Henry Hyde and insert Henry J. Hyde and Jesse Helms. For those of you who don't remember about Jesse Helms, he was, among other things, was very virulently against HIV AIDS funding and programming and research and studies and
anything.
Some of us remember that.
Well, he would turn in his grave.
Well, no, it's just because, you know, to get him... basically, it's trying to make him look good after death.
Pretty much.
He did change a little bit. He was willing to, you know, help people in other countries with AIDS as long as they, you know, they didn't get it from same sex and they agreed, you know, we're not going to use condoms. He changed a little bit, but, you know, didn't care about the ones here at home. You know, he felt HIV AIDS was God's work. You know, it was killing off the people who we don't want.
You know, there are some people. You know, there was a time in history when somebody died in certain cultures, the Egyptians, for instance, if they wanted their name erased from history, they did a pretty damn good job of almost making that happen. Too bad it doesn't work nearly as well in this century. Because if there's anybody of that crew whose name needs to be erased from history, especially on the subject of HIV/AIDS, is Jesse Frelling Helms.
Reagan.
Reagan comes... Reagan's at the next on the list. I don't know, I think. Because don't get me started on Reagan. They both fall under that if you don't say anything, if you can't say anything good about the dead thing. Yeah. Well, they're both dead. Good.
All right, let's take a little music break and see what we can find and regroup and wake up.
Yeah. Wake up this late in the night, please.
Let's push this button and see what happens.
pretty boy. Hey, you're such a pretty boy. Hey, you're such a pretty boy. You're so pretty.
P-R-E-T-T-Y.
We'll be right back.
leather jacket. He's a fan in a black leather jacket, and I want to take him home with me. Ben, 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 Ben. He looks as good in a skirt as he does in jeans. He is a most notorious queen. His personality, I'm not impressed, but I can't wait to get him undressed. He's a fan in a black leather jacket. He's a gem in a black leather jacket. He's a fan in a black leather jacket, and I want to take him home with me. He's a fan in a black leather jacket. He's a gem in a black leather jacket. He's a fan in a black leather jacket, and I'm gonna take him home with me. I'm gonna take him home with me. I'm gonna take him home with me.
Sorry, I'm trying to program in here. We've got a dedication here to Virgin.
To Virgin?
Yeah, it seems appropriate.
Thank you, Chris.
What? What did you just say?
That was for Virgin.
It was
good. Oh, yeah.
Big Bottom.
Just me all night.
Actually, it's Fancy Division.
That's not... Never mind.
Before that was Feminine Black Leather Jacket.
Actually, from the look of him, he's... No, anyhow. It's more around here, actually. Anyhow.
No, I have these pair of pants, these girl pants, of course.
You always wear those.
So. No, I have a girl pair of pants. I have never find them.
Yeah. All right.
But they give me an ass, though. They do.
Like you need that.
I need to get those.
You already have one. It's you just attached to the other end of your body.
And you too, Marilyn. You too.
I love you.
All right. So, what's next up?
I was going to write all these things down.
What? Who? Whom? What?
I think that'd be an interesting story, though. I mean, to mention that.
Well, yeah.
So, are we going into that story that you were looking at?
Is that the one they talked about with Africans?
What?
No, the Achilles heel of HIV.
Okay, there was a couple different stories that came out about HIV news here this past week.
Uh-oh.
One of them came out of Houston, Texas, actually.
Well, one of them was. They mentioned it was some clinic in Texas. They never mentioned why. That's why I was asking if this was it. One bit of news that they came out with is that there is a belief that there is a gene in Southern African people that was mutated to make them resistant to malaria.
Right.
And apparently it makes them more prone to getting HIV.
Oh, God.
He.
But makes it more manageable.
Wow. That's bizarre.
That this here. Now, the interesting part is that they couldn't... they didn't really test it on Africans. They tested it on African-Americans. Because it's easier to get hold of the people to do the research and the studies on there. Let's see. A genetic variant peculiar to Africans substantially raises their risk for infection with HIV. According to research, it suggests evolved susceptibility may be helping drive the continent's AIDS epidemics. The 90% of Africans who carry the DNA variation are 40% more likely to contract HIV than those without it. After similar exposure to the virus, scientists from Britain and America have found, as the genetic change is common among people in African ancestry, but it's virtually unknown among other ethnic groups, it could be partially why HIV/AIDS is more prevalent in sub-Saharan Africa. The variant known as Duffy negative is so common in Africa that it could be responsible for about 11% of the continent's HIV burden, or 2.5 million cases.
Wow.
Mm. Wow.
Now, trying to find on the part in the article where they, if they talk about that, go ahead.
It's kind of, something about that confuses me.
Which tells you, if that's 11% of the cases, that there are 25 million people in Africa with HIV.
I'm glad somebody here can do math.
Woo! That's a lot of folks.
I don't do math well.
That's a lot of folks.
But it was... you know, I remember hearing the... actually listened to it on the BBC.
Mm-hmm.
Which you can hear on KPFT 8 to 9 on weekdays. They were talking about it, and they said that, you know, it makes them more susceptible to them, but it helps them to live longer with the disease. It's for some reason, it makes it also manageable. I don't see any mention of that in this.
So what does this have to do with African Americans?
Well, because it's genetic, people who have come from sub-Saharan Africa, and this is a mutation from years. Hundreds of years ago,
right.
That even the African Americans who have this disease, who have this genetic abnormality, that's who they were able to test this on and do the research on.
I was just wondering about that because given the, it's interesting that particular genetic whatever is still in there, given what has obviously, you know, African Americans, in a very large part, tend to be a mix of more than just the African.
They may have been able to find more.
Yeah.
I hate to say it. Yeah. Of a pure
more,
breed. Who's
more original?
More
genetic.
People that are first and second generation, probably. Yeah.
I was just wondering because let's face it, there was a whole lot of hanky-panky going on with, you know.
Yeah. But now,
with the people they thought of as property.
But, I mean, even with nowadays, you get a lot of the migration coming across, and it's just easier to, we've got the research facilities here to test people and be more controlled than, trying to conduct this kind of a survey in actual...
Now, it says here it was... this genetic defect actually helped people protect themselves against malaria, but on the flip side, it also made them more susceptible to HIV.
So it's...
Somebody told... I was having a conversation about malaria. Oddly enough, I was having a conversation about malaria this week with somebody. Because apparently, those of us born with spina bifida have a higher genetic resistance to malaria. Not that I'm ever going to test that theory being HIV positive.
Well, yeah. Well, you know, we could use a new canal dug, you know.
Yeah.
Now, another news is coming out of Houston, supposedly.
Yeah, I actually pulled up the article from ScienceDaily.com. In a nutshell, innovative approach in attacking the location where HIV attaches to the cell. Let's see.
Has led to researchers from the University of Texas to believe they found the virus's weak spot. The Achilles heel is hidden in a protein that remains constant among all of the mutating forms of the virus.
Ooh.
To attack it, they've developed a special antibiotic with
enzymatic
activity referred to as an abzamine.
They've
engineered antibodies which can attack the Achilles heel in a precise way. Yeah, once again, it's...
The abzymes recognize essentially all of the diverse HIV forms found across the world. This solves the problem of HIV changeability. The next step is to confirm their theory in clinical trials. This is according to to Sudhir Paul, the pathology professor at UT Medical School.
Do I have... I'm just sitting here going, okay, exactly how old do I have to live before they make this go away?
A single abzyme molecule inactivates thousands of virus particles. Regular antibodies inactivate only one virus particle, and their antiviral HIV effect is weaker. The work of Dr. Paul's group is highly innovative. This is coming out of the article, of course. This is from Stephen J. Norris, PhD, holder of the Robert Greer Professorship in Biomedical Sciences and Vice Chair for Research at...
So basically, they've got some interesting studies that have come up, and now, unfortunately, at the same time, we're discontinuing research on HIV/AIDS vaccine.
Yeah.
There's another brilliant move on somebody's part.
For some reason. So, you know...
Because they're not working!
Yeah, well, there's that. Every time my doc... For me, it's been, 13-plus years now? And every time... I have a dear, sweet friend who calls me every so often with this new thing that somewhere... And every time, after all these years and all these burials, I just say, show me. I turn into the the living equivalent of the show me state. Yeah. I'm like, show me.
Yeah.
Show me that it works. Show me that, nobody else has to keep dying.
Yeah.
Then I'll be happy about it. You know? And then I'll have some hope that this is going to end.
Because by my estimates, I've had it at least 25 years.
Yeah.
At least. So, yeah, I know how you feel.
And he's still around,
I've looked better. But
yeah.
We're glad to have you, Jimmy.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so you've gone a little bit from Mark Hamill to Kermit the Frog.
Yeah.
But we love you. But we love you just the way you are.
Thank you.
That's from sucking on all those fags.
We love you just the way you are. And as long as you stay vertical, we're happy.
Yeah.
We don't care what you look like. We don't care if you look like Boris Karloff in The Mummy. As long as you're staying above ground.
That's right. And I'm going to do that.
It's just, I don't know. I am by nature an optimist. But
you have to be
to survive this.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I realize, and I know it drives some people crazy, but it is the reason I don't go to things like support groups and stuff, because I know too many groups and too many groups of people who are positive, who live in being positive. That is the most vivid part of their life. It's like it's the only thing some people know how to talk about.
Yeah.
And
Well, and I talk about being positive a lot. I do. But I think if every moment of your life is about the possibility of you dying of something horrible, ugly, and not a lot of fun on the way down, you find a way to have what is basically a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yeah.
You make it happen.
Yeah. And you have to have long-term goals. You have to have an optimistic outlook. You do, or you're not going to survive.
I absolutely believe that if you believe you're going to live, you got a better chance.
Yep.
Optimism, a belief, something to do with your life. I mean, people who retire, they don't know what to do with their lives. A lot of them end up dead not longer after
retiring. That's right.
Retiring.
If they don't have a plan,
been married 50 years, a spouse dies. They die.
They die. Cause
not long after it. Because that piece of them that was useful, that meant something somewhere, seems to go away.
Yeah.
And, I don't live the most... there's a lot of things I'd like. I'd like to have more money than I make. I'd like to not be living where I live.
Yeah,
the last 9 years, but it's a roof over my head. There are a lot of things that are not bright, shiny, and perfect, but I'm also not falling apart at the seams. I'm not crawling into a corner and giving up on everything.
Absolutely.
And as long as I've got that, I keep going. I have something worth living for.
We have something. Yeah. This is coming out of tollroad.com.
A couple of political stories here.
What?
A couple of political stories that are
Watch out.
Oh, here we go, kids. All right.
Get to it. Go on.
Oklahoma Politico preparing anti-gay comic book for voters. Oklahoma County Commissioner Brent Reinhart is reportedly preparing to mail out a homophobic comic book to voters. Oh, this is a brilliant move. A waste of money.
Featuring stories.
It's featuring stories about how gays and Satan are out to get him, the Oklahoman reports. Oh, it gets better. The 16-page comic book makes fun of homosexuals and criticizes Reinhart's political opponents. It features a man and woman admiring Reinhart's often controversial political career, said Keith Gaddy, a political science professor at the University of Oklahoma. This is one of the strangest things I've ever seen. I've never seen a comic book with the phrase anal sodomy in it before. Obviously, he hasn't read Hand Jobs.
It's not really a comic book.
Well, yeah, but that was a new one for me, he says. An angel and Satan, as well as a toga-wearing gay's political figures and trench coat-clad henchmen, figure among the comic book's characters in the odd re-election campaign propaganda.
So is this like one of those comic books they put in your, trick-or-treat bags?
Yeah.
One where you have to, repent at the end or something?
Yeah.
Just for the record, they couldn't possibly put them in Halloween bag. These are the same kind of people who wouldn't let their kids go out on Halloween because it's Satan's holiday.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Oh, I understand completely.
Now, this is brilliant, I gotta say.
You gotta love.
I want a copy of one. I want a copy.
It's a collector's item someday, I'm sure, but I'd rather take a stack of them and burn them, but that's another story.
That goes right.
In one sequence, Satan says, "If I can get the kids to believe homosexuality is normal," the angel replies, "Hey, Satan, not with Burn Around, you won't." That's just classic there. Reinhart said he doesn't think the depiction of is inappropriate and that he is proud of his comic.
God. This is one of those great moments to quote Albert Einstein. The big difference between genius and stupidity is that genius has its limits.
Yes.
And unfortunately, the stupids are the ones getting the press.
I was looking to see. I remember one time I saw they had a picture of that page.
Where do they come up with this stuff? I could think of having once worked in a comic book store, of which I saw all kinds of comics. All kinds of comics. Yeah. I would think that somebody would have much better things to do with their time and waste some ink on, you know.
You can go to Tola Road and there's a PDF of the entire book on there.
Just wondering who would actually, like, draw this thing out.
It's pretty poorly drawn, too.
Oh, okay. Well, that explains it.
There's a picture of this, I don't know what type of guy, I don't know who he is, but Brent fought to remove homosexual preferences from the county handbook, but was voted down by the good old boys. And the same person here in overalls, he's wearing overalls. It said in the news that Judge Bill Graves wrote that sexual orientation would protect pedophiles, polygamists, and homosexuals who practice anal sodomy, defined in state law as the detestable and abominable crimes against nature.
That's what God will live in.
Against nature.
So here's this mother trying to protect her little child who still only reaches up to her uterus.
I get the feeling the closest any of them have actually been to nature might be the Boy Scouts.
Oh, yeah.
Because if they were really paying attention to nature, they'd notice humans ain't the only fags on the planet.
But let's get some happier news out of
Alabama, boys. All right.
What's happening in Alabama?
The Alabama Republican Attorney General, Troy King.
Conservative Republican Christian, no less.
Yeah. Troy King.
Is it cute?
How gay.
Had an interesting name. Who has called homosexuality the downfall of society, has been caught with his pants down.
Literally.
In a gay sex scandal. King was reportedly nabbed having sex with a male assistant by his wife, Paige King, in the couple's own bed.
Oh, my God. She's going to have to shout that stain out.
After being caught having sex with his male aide by his wife, Alabama Attorney General Troy King was reportedly banished from his home in Montgomery by his infuriated spouse, according to PerezHilton.com. Although reports about the scandal are sketchy and the events have yet to be confirmed by official sources, some media outlets are reporting that King is preparing to resign over the affair. King was considered a potential frontrunner for the governorship in 2010, has been vocal in his condemnation of homosexuality and abortion.
Only if he decides to turn Democrat.
He has worked to outlaw sex toys and is a staunch supporter of the death penalty. King previously served as assistant attorney general and was appointed by the governor. As a law student at the University of Alabama, he wrote frequent editorials for the Crimson White in condemnation of gays, affirmative action, and abortion. In his editorials for the student newspaper, King called homosexuality the downfall of society and said AIDS could be cleansed from America if, quote, this nation's current purveyors of perversion would refrain from committing sodomy.
So,
you know, as a complete side note to that thing, why is it that the folks for whom the Ten Commandments seem to be such an important document, piece of work, that they seem to have absolutely no problem with the death penalty?
Well,
thou shalt not kill apparently doesn't really.
Actually, if you go back to how it was written, it's thou shalt not commit murder.
Yeah.
And death.
Deliberately ending somebody's life seems to me to be, you know,
murder
would still be.
Yeah, murder's a criminal offense.
Right.
I would say what my opinions are, but it would be anti-Pacificum. I'm in favor of anything that gets less cars on the road. I believe in less traffic.
Anyhow, but I mean, and why? I don't understand these people. I don't understand how it is that they doth protest so much, and yet they are always the ones getting caught with their hands down.
Well, I give him credit, though. It was not in an abandoned backyard.
Yeah,
true. It was not in a bathroom in an airport.
He kept it in the house.
It was not in a park in a... It was not a bathroom in a park.
Airport.
It wasn't in a ritzy hotel.
It wasn't in a ritzy motel. It wasn't in a airport bathroom. This is true.
A cheap bastard there to go and spring for a hotel.
Well, I have to ask,
he kept
though,
it at home. Boy, did
with a name like Troy King, do you think he's a top or a bottom?
Now we can find out though.
Maybe his wife was mad because she couldn't join in.
Maybe the king was busy getting knighted.
No! I wonder if he was swinging a big sword.
Nobody went for the easy joke of king is actually a queen.
Yeah, well, that too. I mean, come on, that was too easy.
That's too easy. There were four of those in my family.
So, four queens, Vita Straight?
There you go. But I mean,
that's how it is at South Beach. Yeah.
Oh, I mean, I just, they want, they make my head want to explode. They just do. These people, oh my God, it's like, they go on and on and on about what we do in our bedrooms and whatever other.
The term is hypocrisy.
Yeah. And it and the hypocrisy can and then they get caught endlessly doing the same stuff.
What's in Felecto Grande?
I like how Chris said that.
Well, you know, I didn't know exactly what it did, so it could have been in Felecio Grande.
No.
And then again, if she walked in too late, then it would have been. Infelicio
interruptus.
Yeah, coitus interrupted there.
Colitis interrupted.
Colonus interrupted.
Coitus interrupted. So, I guess if she heard.
You know, if she had a
we
knife
don't
in her
use sound
hand.
Effects in the damn show.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It could have been
sound
like
effects?
You know.
Never mind.
If she'd had a knife in her hand, it might have been phallus interrupted.
No,
or phallus disconnectus.
Well, she probably would have done the Lorena Bobbitt.
There you
thing,
go.
Though.
I mean,
no, that happened in the Philippines. But anyway,
yeah, I remember that story. Anyway.
God,
but I mean, oh God, they just. I'm sorry, they just make my head.
You know, like they say, you know, wonders never cease as long as you never cease to wonder. And, you know, I kind of had to wonder what was going through the Attorney General's head there, you know, bringing a guy to the house.
Which head?
I think he was thinking.
We know what was going through one of them.
Well, yeah, and unfortunately, wifey walked in on him.
Or what? It was going through one of those two.
I don't know. But
I think it's time to wrap it up here, kids.
It's getting near there, yeah.
Leave it to Alabama. Coming up at the top of the hour is Zydeco Pasale. I saw Mary at the...
At the door.
At the door, yeah. So that'll be coming up.
It's been real. It's been fun. Blessed be. Good night.
Good night, kids.
Good night, kids.
Good night.
Good night.
And never cease to be amazed at what the world will give us to talk about.
Right?
Yeah, once again, if you want to check out the our main resource that we use for our news and stories here, it's TOWLEROAD.com. Don't do it at work because some of it's not safe for work. They do have some lovely pictures in there with David Beckham, with Justin Timberlake kissing his foot, going, that's what $123 million tastes like.
Yeah, well, I'm sure.
And then another one of him standing next to Zach Gowen, the boy from High School of Musical.
Yeah.
So, what, is David Beckham gay? What?
Metrosexual.
Oh, is that what they call it now?
Uh-huh.
that's a really nice way of saying when the wife ain't around.
Don't worry, Virgin, you will never be confused for metrosexual. Metropolis, yes. Metrosexual, no. You've been listening to After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude here on listener-sponsored commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast, KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, always the World Wide Web. If you want to get in touch with us, you can send us an email at afterhours@kpft.org. Or you can send us traditional snail mail at After Hours, care of KPFT, 419 Lovett Boulevard. That's L-O-V-E-T-T Boulevard, Houston, Texas, 77006. We'll be back again here next week with more of the insanity. Now it's time for your PSAs.
Number 22 is coming Saturday, July 26th. Number 22 features Giant Bear from Tennessee. Local artists O.B. Hendricks, David Fall, Los Vertigos, Pot Roast, The Hightailers, and many more. Number 22 is a benefit concert for KPFT. Number 22 is the 22nd annual Watermelon Dance and Summer Social. The event is held at the Last Concert Cafe, 1403 Nam Street, just off the Hardy McKee exit on I-10 in the heart of downtown. 713-226-8563 gets you details. Dawn and David promise a great time for all. Number 22 starts around 2 p.m. So come on down, meet your friends, and dance in the sand. And enjoy a slice of the other red meat. Icy cold watermelon. See you Saturday, July 26th at the Last Concert Cafe for number 22, a Houston classic. Supporting 90.1 KPFT Houston.
Golf is a sport best played on a golf course with as many friends as possible. Recognizing this simple fact, KPFT wants you and your friends to participate in the first annual Hot Air Open Golf Tournament. This is a KPFT benefit, and it will take place on September 21st, 1 p.m. at the Bear Creek Masters Course, a final course just located north of I-10 and along Highway 6. The Hot Air Open benefits a homegrown community radio station, KPFT, and golf carts, greens, and Dennis Walker design t-shirts along with the after party are provided for a single entry fee or whole sponsorship. Hosted by Cajun Bandstand's PT Sandy from Dead Air and your friend and mine Larry Winters, the Spare Change is one fundraiser that promises to have a whole lot of fun and laughter. Entry to the Hot Air Open may be done via the web at hotairopen.org or at kpft.org. This is your friend and mine Larry Winters, hoping to see you and yours out there on the golf course on the 21st of this year.
The free program you just heard was paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a KPFT member, we encourage you to join with us in keeping free speech alive by becoming one. Basic membership is still $35 a year. You don't have to, but you'll feel better. Thanks for listening.